G-Man in absentia. G-Man in absentia. In absentia.
In absentia.
G-Man in absentia. The G-Man will return after January 24th.
Giuseppe Vaffanculo.
In Giuseppe's momentary absence, the show will go on 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The G-Man's period of recovery will last until January 24th, after which he will return. In the meantime, we'll be here holding down his schedule and giving his ever-reliable viewers something to listen to. Stand-in show.
Stand-in.
G-Man in absentia. If you can donate to Giuseppe, go to rtidemedia.com or visit Giuseppe on FTJ.
G-Man will return.
Giuseppe will return after January 2025. Wish him well during his recovery. Donate to G-Man if you can. Go to rtidemedia.com. G-Man in absentia. G-Man in absentia. G-Man in absentia.
Certainty of knowledge regarding the purple bat wang vaginal folds of the Negress. Absolute certainty of knowledge is impossible in most matters. Most think the exception is in the empirical matters, i.e. direct observation, which in this case, it must be said, is the observation, color denotation, and classification of the Negress's flappy private bits. However, be warned that even in empirical matters, certainty of knowledge is impossible, though certainty of malodorous stench will be. Now, since knowledge is at best merely that which is probable, as in determining what hypotheses is best supported by the evidence, ergo, the testable hypothesis we shall entertain is one in which the bruised hue of the vaginal folds of the African-American female will be observed and evaluated for coloration, but not odor. Furthermore, future hypotheses will consider the multivariate coloration of the African-American Negress areola, as well as the immediate surrounding skin of the sphincter, also known to have bizarre coloration when compared to the standard of beauty, the white woman with her naughty bits and her no-no spot generally being pinkish coloration, unless bleached. In technical language, the search for an approximation of certain knowledge is to test a hypothesis which, if true, would confer the highest probability on the available evidence, which would therefore have the highest degree of explanatory power. More in a moment, after I've made the appropriate observations and classifications of the Negress's flappy private bits as found in a random survey of RedTube, using only filters, Negress, flappy puss, close up, and don't mind the stench. Initial findings in this study will suffice as the available evidence. As the available evidence tends to converge, oh man, does it converge, and therefore it is acceptable as true or certain in the tentative and fallible fashion of science, though I doubt these findings will ever be overturned, no matter how many Negress flappy vagine videos you evaluate. My God, they were all of a purple hue. Was a manifest absurdity, approximating a black eye or shiner, like the one I got on the playground slide when an angry Negro child said to a young James Fetzer,
"Hey, Cracker, why don't you get a piece of fat and slide off?"
After which he punched me in a rage and pushed yours truly down the slide. A major implication of this state of knowledge means that with the emergence of new alternatives or new evidence, we may have to revise our reject hypotheses we previously accepted, accept hypotheses we previously rejected, and leave others in suspense for future determination. Though I doubt very much that you can find a Negress without the purple-hued batwing vaginal folds. That'll put you off your lunch. Unless she is an octoroon or decaroon, and even then it appears that the one-drop rule applies to the coloration of the sexually reproductive private parts of the Negress, no matter her genetic configuration, particularly when engorged, which again will simply put you off your lunch. In conclusion, while we can't ever really be looking for certainty, we can be looking for what is the best hypothesis supported by all available evidence. And in this case, it can be stated, all Negresses have purple flappy private bits and folds. Animal hair, purple hue, batwing, vaginal folds, and other as yet unidentified folds. Manifest absurdity.
Hello, everybody. Davis Orman, Right Perspective Radio. Ah, look who we have here. We appear to have action in the chat. All right, let's go over to FTJ. FTJ is a ghost town. Ooh. All right, Odyssey, saving the day. There we go. Flack 88, hoping G-Man's recuperating well. I think G-Man had to do... This oral surgery business is, it's usually complicated, so my understanding was there's some sort of a deep pocket cleaning, and then he's going to be having the oral surgery very soon, either momentarily or within the next few days. After reviewing the bat wings, Fetzer shot himself in the forehead. He survived the attempt and still has the scar. Yeah, I saw that lumpy thing on his head there. But, you know, we love Uncle Jim, Grandpa Jim. He's a good guy. I think it's pretty awesome he just wears that liver spot up there and doesn't put makeup and stuff. Because a lot of people would be otherwise concerned with that precancerous lump there. Yeah. Hopefully precancerous, so we'll see. Ah, speaking of we'll see, let me see what's happening here. Why is it such a sleepy day on FTJ? We have live... Oh, Flood's live. Well, that figures. No one's going to be over here. Yours truly. Right. Okay, well, it appears Flood's live, I think, unless it's one of those restreams. Psycho Driller, what's up, buddy? Okay, he's on live too. Okay, so a lot of action over here at FTJ. Of course, that should not be an excuse. Always Honest is here in the FTJ chat. There you go. Tom Dwyer, what's up, buddy? And I didn't finish the Odyssey peeps. C-Jag saying good day. Serbian Bull. And Boiling Frog and Night Wolf. There you go. Okay. Well, we should be having Paul here momentarily. I think I've set it so that I'll hear a bleep or bloop sound when Paul arrives. But in the meantime, we can proceed as if we do have Paul here. There we go. He just showed up. Nice, nice. Well, as you know, Paul has his requirements, and so we'll be giving him his intro right now. And now, it's Paul from California. Statutory Paul earned that name through a series of infractions. And yes, he might like the ladies young.
Will you now welcome
Hello, am I on? Am I on the air?
All right, pause. Yeah, shorten it up as well there. Shorten up your
intro. I couldn't hear the intro music. I heard it was muffled, I guess would be the best word to describe it.
Yeah, that's called, also known as StreamYard. Yes, StreamYard's changing its branding to muffled, in fact. That's going to be the new name of StreamYard. Thank God OBS is coming soon.
I only missed by a few minutes being on time. It was one of those things where I said, I'm gonna actually be on time this morning, because I know you start pretty crisply at 10 a.m. my time. We don't have the nice buffer, the cushion of all those great video compilation that Giuseppe puts together. But topics to discuss today, I assume.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll figure we'll get right into your video. Now, of course, I have one email from you, but I have other Negro videos I brought to the table for your perusal.
Yeah, call. And I wasn't even going to. I just figured, you know, with the so-called, wildfire, the basic conflagration that we're, supposed to believe has occurred in L.A., and other such thing, Trump's upcoming inauguration, where day one he's going to start kicking ass, taking names, and, going after the deep state, as we all know. I was listening to a little bit of RBN this morning, which I rarely do. Yeah, but, on occasion I got to check in.
Oh, sure.
And oh my God, just the retardation of the Trump syndrome, it goes far beyond the the obvious of he's better than the alternative, but there's people that are actually taking him at his word of the stuff he said he's going to do, and they're talking about it, looking forward to it, and it's just
really?
Like,
oh they my believe God, you.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten the memo. Trump is full of shit.
Now, this is just one show, for example. This is the morning show. The same guy's been on there for years. He gets basically 3 hours. It's essentially a 2.5-hour infomercial for the products and companies that he pushes or that he's a part of. Right?
Also, pig lifts and vitamins.
Yeah, well, no, that's not him. But this is J.R. Moore. And, he's got a
– Oh,
he's
okay,
got a,
yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, like I said, it's the same story. The fact that this one guest, and I've heard this guest on before, and he's a semi-regular, and I kind of like him as a rule, but he actually has taken, Trump at his word about he's going after the deep state. And he wants us all to flood the switchboards, a local representative, because guess what, Davis? If we put the effort in and we really make known, our concerns and really push these congressmen and senators, they just might get on board.
And if it doesn't happen, that's your fault that you didn't call.
I almost thought I'd call, because I haven't called RBN in a long time, and I just thought, nah.
I mean, could have, but yeah. Might have made you, you're saying that was this morning.
Yeah, actually this morning. In fact, this is a show. I was banned after two calls. J.R. Moore was on to me pretty quickly with the Jew thing, right? So yeah. I got two calls. This goes back probably at least a year and a half or 2 years or more. And no more. I think I tried once or twice more to get on a show, and then the call screener actually said, "Paul, just so you know, he's not going to take your calls." I said, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. See, no one likes you, Paul, is what he's saying.
It's bad. I've been thinking about getting out of the movement. And I put the movement in air quotes. Because, people come after me, man. People come after me.
Yeah. Get in line, Paul. We have others who, for example, Serbian Bull is in he's in the Odyssey chat. And, he could probably rate against whatever attacks have come your way. He's got some real haters online. And then, of course, there's yours truly.
How could he have any haters online? He doesn't really say that much that's controversial or something.
Well, because he's trusted by many presenters. So like myself, they've made him a moderator in the chat, right? Which means Serbian Bull arrives and he starts horning everybody. And they don't like it when he pulls out the ban hammer. So then he's the dick because they said, you know, they said something they shouldn't have. So now he's the dick.
Got it.
See how that, right. So same thing with Paul.
He's like a chat monitor.
Well, yeah, a lot more than that. Just like you, Paul, you drop the truth bombs and then people say, oh, but they don't like the truth. So they say, fuck Paul.
Well, also to my attitude and my, you know, the things I say. I mean, let's face it. I'm starting to mellow a little bit, but I've been known to be strident. Really? That would be the best word. Yeah.
Nah, you don't say. All right. So let's go. You see this fella here. The Lord showed me why all these fires are happening.
Oh, my God.
Look at his background, Paul. He must be a true American.
I just sent that to you if you wanted to catch a few minutes of it. I think you saw it's probably like 40 minutes. I think I watched maybe
50 minutes long.
Yeah, I watched 10 or 12. But it's so disgusting. I got this. I'm on an email list, a subscriber to this one guy who I normally respect. This guy's, I mean, I'm not going to name him or his organization. I like him. I like his organization. He's anti-tax. He actually wrote a book about taking on the IRS. He's awake to everything that's going on. But he sent this, you know, thing out, this video link out, and said, hey, you know, this guy might be onto something. Check it out. Let me know what you think. I have not responded to this, to the guy that sent it, you know, telling him what I think. But it's just so, it's ridiculous. Another one of these Zionist Christian retards who believes in Trump. And it's just like,
oh dear God. Okay. Yeah. So how about with this? We're going to give this a good, like a solid, we'll give this a solid 2 minutes, 3 minutes and see where it goes. We're going to get a real flavor for this.
You don't even have to do that. I just sent it to you, but you want to put it up. Just.
Oh yeah. It's already up. I thought I'd share this. You found it frustrating. I figured, well, let's frustrate everyone else. And then I'll show you, I've got a few of the videos for your perusal there, Paul. Some of the hood fights and things like that.
Gotcha.
But yeah, let's hear the Ziotard, who's obviously a true American hero. Look at that flag behind him. All right, let's go ahead.
By the way, I see nothing up on the screen on StreamYard right now.
Oh, okay. That's good. Thank you for letting me know. So now that means, oh, StreamYard, you silly goose. All right, add to stage. There we go.
There we go. Look at this guy.
Yeah, StreamYard used to have a thing where if you clicked share screen, it would automatically pop up. And now with some update, now you have to do an extra step, which is super convenient. All right. Anyway, here we go. Here we go.
We started our French channel yesterday, and we started our Arabic channel, and we've started our Portuguese channel. So if you speak those languages, exciting times for you, I guess, if you like watching me. It's we're working hard, folks, and my son and my wife, we're all downloading and getting this channel set up, spreading the gospel throughout the whole world. Now I will go to what I've seen about Israel. I was interceding for Israel and what's about to happen. And the moment Trump is inaugurated on the 20th, I saw him come out like a lion, cracking his whip. And I'm talking big, you know, like some dogs are all bark and no bite. No, he is all dog and all bite for what I've seen coming. And I saw things that were strategic. He has a plan. And I saw strategic plans of taking out key select targets in the Middle East. I'm talking within a matter of just time. I'm talking about a small span of time. I'm talking using the military like a chess game. And I saw Iran crippled financially. Yeah, I saw Iran,
we all know Iran's our biggest
problem. Great disruption, a great delay.
He saw it, Paul.
Yeah, see, so this is the thing. When I saw this guy, I you know, again, this email list that I'm on and this guy and this organization, I like him and I respect him. And I started listening to this and I go, dude, how could you even send this out? This is like retarded. And it just reminds me that these people exist, that this fucking fat, bald piece of shit, you know, actually exists. And they believe the shit they're saying. They believe that there's problems in the Middle East that we have to take care of by using our military like a strategic, a chess piece, a surgical instrument. It's like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? It's like the people that think that, yeah, we can spread democracy and freedom with bombs. Yeah, bombs are great for democracy and freedom, don't you think? You know what? You don't have any fair elections in your country. How about some missiles here? This will help you. It's like
bomb. Here's some purple ink for your fucking finger. Oh, and a bomb.
I would love to put this guy in the internment camp. To be honest with you, I am so sick of Christards.
Okay. You see what he's doing here? See this wrinkling around the above the nose portion there, like that brow line. See that wrinkling that happens?
Right.
He's doing this is what I like to call faux sincerity, FAUX. Look at this guy. He's like, oh yeah, I'm so deeply concerned. So I'm trying to figure out, what does this cat have? Like a church? Is this the gimmick? He's got like a church.
I don't know. I took in another 8 to 10 minutes after that. But you basically heard, I didn't watch much more than this when I sent it to you going, oh, what the hell? I'll just send this to Davis, right? But I think it's away he talks about taking out Iran. I mean, it's how long have we been hearing about how bad Iran is for like 40 years? I remember back in the 80s, right? Oh, it's Iran. You know, here's a fucking, essentially Iran is less like in the middle of the Middle East. Right. Surrounded by, I mean, talk about a buffer zone between us and Iran. Iran is like no threat at all. The only threat Iran's ever been is sending more Iranian students to our universities to push up the curve, up the curve in math and chemistry classes. That's what I experienced when I was in college. Okay. Is with the fucking Persian mafia.
Yeah, they are Persian mafia. Yes. They're very, very much so. The people who invented math might be a problem for the Nogs in physics class.
Why is it that the Jews, apparently, that the Israelis have such a problem with Iran? I mean, I don't get it.
Sure you do.
Iran is, I forgot, they're the number one sponsor of state terrorism or whatever.
Well, that's the excuse, yes. Iran is a proxy for Russia and China, but mostly Russia. And because of their alliance and the fact that they've come such a long way with nuclear technologies, which I know you don't believe in the whole atomic energy thing, but the fact of the matter is this is the excuse on the world stage is that Iran is either 5 minutes from getting a bomb or they already have one from Russia. And so the fact that they're embargoing them for the past 37 years is all related to that. And it was like 5 minutes after the Jews assassinated JFK and said, no, well, we have a nuclear program, go fuck yourself, and shot him in the head like a dog in the street. Then ever since then, they've been embargoed. We've been embargoing the fuck out of them. And that's why your pistachio nuts, which are relatively inexpensive nuts in Iran and around Iran, but because they're embargoed, the cost of pistachios went up 600%, along with many other things like the cost of your oil and all that.
It's funny you somehow work pistachios into that equation. I like that.
Well, only because it relates to California, because those people that own all the water in California, which is why there was not enough water to fight the fires.
Oh, yeah.
These pair of kikes, they own pistachio farms, and pistachio farms are very lucrative because they lobby to make sure no Iranian pistachios get sold in the United States. So they get to sell them for 600% more, and they hire poor labor. And of course they use all the water, and then they get to sell the water back to the state because they own this access to the water.
You did your homework. You watched the same video I watched then.
Yeah. It's an excellent video. Yeah. I was kind of shocked by it. I didn't know someone could own the water the state needs. So,
I mean, that movie with Chinatown, Jack Nicholson, I mean, they didn't just make that up out of whole cloth, you know?
Well, it's an important film because that focuses on the Jewish mob and their corruption.
Yeah, no, it was a good movie. It brought into play many things. But, yeah, there's a whole history of California water. And, again, highly recommend, if it's still up on YouTube, you can find it. I think it's called California's Ruling Families or something like that. It's about 23 or 24 minutes, something like that. But yeah, basically four families have ruled California more or less for many generations, and it's quite eye-opening. And no surprise that the Pelosi's and Feinstein's and Newsom's and all that, they're right in the mix, and the Browns, you know, the former governor before Jerry Brown was Pat Brown. And once you get it, the idea in your head that all these people have done for a very long time is combine their resources in many cases through marriage and also through these interlocking boards of directorates of all these various corporations. And, you know, they tell you, oh, well, they only own 10% or they only own 21% shares in this, but that's almost always a lie.
You know what? By that title, there isn't something now, which is a shame. I kind of wanted to
see that. No, I haven't seen it in years, but I did watch it, and I watched it a couple different times, and it used to be on YouTube. But you know the way wonderful YouTube these days seems to conveniently forget things that they used to have and or take you somewhere else. You know, other than that, their search engine is excellent. I mean, compared to like BitChute and these other fucking pieces of shit, if you just get the two or three words right of a 7 or 8 or 10 word title, YouTube will usually bring you to what you're looking for, you know, that you might have to pick it out of a page of many others. But on particular things where you get every single word right, okay,
yeah,
and they don't want you to see it anymore, they'll hide it, even though there's times where it still exists. I've actually found stuff that still exists, but you literally cannot find it using a normal search on a YouTube search engine. So anyway, we know what's up with those people.
Yeah, some things have been disappeared, I suppose. That must be it. All right. Well, a lot of big fans of Gavin Newsom's wife that came up. I guess everyone likes her. Well, she is fairly attractive, but not. I mean, she's not like. Not that there's not prettier, but yeah. Anyway, interesting. Tom Dwyer giving 5. Thanks, buddy. Clinton saying good day. Anna giving us our image updates. Look at that. Oh my goodness. Wow, this looks like an original. You can see that, right, Paul? Original nice. Flag. Oh, boy. Ready for the good old days? He shows the march that the flag was used in. Wow.
Wouldn't it be cool to, I mean, again, I'm not, this is not an original thought, but, you know, I used to fantasize, especially when I was younger, just about going back to different time periods. And just to be able to like live in that period for a while and then come back, you know, just to experience it.
Come back. Why on earth would you come back?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am a modern American. I was raised in modern suburban America. So I guess there's some of that attachment, even though everywhere it's being destroyed. You know, there's one of the videos I think I sent, or I'm not sure if I did or not, but this girl in Columbus lived in the same Columbus, Ohio, which you would think Ohio, middle of the Midwest, pretty landlocked. But, you know, the Beaner invasion is in full force there. And she was lamenting the fact that, you know, she's been living in the same apartment complex for 5 years. And now she's basically like one of the few like English speaking Americans left in this complex. And
oh, it's changed around her.
She started to notice.
Mm-hmm.
The noticing has begun.
The noticing has. Okay. Trying to figure this guy out. Rush Limbaugh's brother. Oh. I'm fascinated by this guy now. I'm trying to figure out what's the grift. So it must be that he's got a church or some semblance of a church, and then he uses it to send out his messages. And so he hinges his kind of like foreign policy preferences upon messages from Jesus, or this is one last call from Jesus, everybody. You got to buy my rent.
you want to listen to a few more minutes of him just for the hell of it, or?
Yeah, let's poke around his site a little bit first. Okay. See what I mean? He kind of looks like like Rush Limbaugh's brother.
Is he married to a white woman there? It looks like. Yeah. Okay.
I believe she is. Yeah. Okay. She looks right. Italian, maybe. Yeah, that's a good, he's ahead of everyone else, isn't he?
Hey, good morning, family. I'm excited to be with y'all today. I have a word for you. I'm trying not to
cry. Oh, my God. He's doing that thing.
Let us hear the word he's got for us.
Yeah, he's got the word is fag.
Try through the whole thing.
Jesus.
And the Lord visited me last night. Oh,
again, the Lord talked to him again.
He's crying because the Lord was the big black dude who told him to roll over.
Oh, God.
Look at this bag. No offense, but I mean, seriously. Men should be crying at funerals or when your fucking dog dies or something like that. But this is a bit much. The constant tears. It seems like a put on, but I also think
I don't know if you could call it constant. Okay. We've only heard a few minutes of them, but.
What? Yeah. You know people like this with their always with the tearing up, and it becomes part of their affectation. Like, oh wow, that's really something. Yeah. They see someone's baby and they start crying. There are men like this.
I think that you are doubting his sincerity. That would be my takeaway right now.
Yeah, it's a safe takeaway.
Sorry, I'm going to get it together because I've got a message for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what's your message, bro? Iran?
What's the message already?
Oh, help me, Holy Spirit.
Trump right. is all dog and all bar fight.
He did the thing where he was like, give me strength, Holy Spirit. Then he pulled his shit together. Wow, okay.
Together here.
Yeah, do that, please.
I had a visitation. An open-eyed vision that lasted for about an hour.
Wow. Pass that pipe. Well, my screen is frozen. Hopefully everything's proceeding normally.
Yeah. Okay. God's going to kill all the Jews, Paul. This was the message. It's the only way I could think of to help everyone.
Told me to do two videos.
Oh.
He said, I want you to separate it and don't do it all at once.
Hmm.
So I'll give you part one and part two.
Interesting. Oh, yes. That's how breaking up. Yeah, that would do. This guy. So God is now the director. So much like the Jews, they like to pretend that their Yahweh is like a real estate broker. And that was an even exchange. Listen, Abraham gave Yahweh the foreskin, and so we get the land. Anyway, but this guy's acting like God's a director now. Like, here, let me tell you what to do here. Why don't you bring it up into two parts, part one and part two.
Hey, Davis, let him talk for a little bit because he's performing.
Okay. Oh, it's very informative. But yeah, we do learn.
But I'm going to give you the last of it first because it was holy.
Oh, it's holy.
The way whatever he appeared, Jesus appeared.
Was it Jesus or was it God? Which one was it?
The first of it was about the economy.
Okay, the economy.
And what's coming. More about what's coming.
This is the same economy that the Jews totally control and run, huh, bro?
Is yeah. No, he's not going to mention about? That. Again, okay. It's more about what's coming, which, again, is not his wife in a long time.
You people. And then the last of it was his heart. Is it a cry for the lost?
Oh.
So I'm going to start with it there. In this vision, I saw the sun going down. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, Brandon,
this dude has childlike visions. Okay.
The sun actually does go down on occasion. So,
this nigga was just at the beach. Nigga, you went to the beach at sunset. It's not a vision.
Oh, God. I feel like I want to just get a full time job mocking Christians. I don't know why. I just do.
Yeah. It's like, you fell asleep on the beach.
I want to debate Christians like full time.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Go on. I'm sorry.
On this dispensation of time, he said everything that humanity has been, this part of it is coming to an end. The dispensation of grace is coming to an end, and they're going into the tribulation. The tribulation is about to begin. And I saw the sun going down, and it was just right where it was getting ready to set. And I could see the sun coming through the clouds, and it was beautiful.
but there was no time.
You just said it was an hour, but there's no time, Paul. But it's an hour. It's an hour of no time. That's the name of the new show, The Hour of No Time.
It's funny, too.
I'm going to speed it up, right? I mean, because this has taken him forever to make this up as he goes. I mean, well, recall.
I want to hear about the tribulation.
Yes, the dispensation. It was just a strange word. It's a perfect word for certain Christians, because there are Christians who believe what they're saying, and they don't run around doing this this business. But the dispensation, you know, that's a word that means the opposite of itself. So there's two definitions. One is like an exemption from a rule or the usual rule, that kind of thing. So you can get a special dispensation. Everyone's heard that before. Like you can get one from your government to serve for your country or something. But also dispensation is like a system of order, rules, and governance. So it's both things. So it's a perfect word for Christian. It both means an exemption from something and the something. So there you go. We're about to hear the dispensation of, what do you say, time, grace?
Everything was
time. Go ahead.
I was trying to make a quip. You don't give me enough time to quip your remarks before you go back into the video. And I was just going to joke around and say, I'm sorry, I'm confused. What did you just say?
You're supposed to be, right? You're supposed to be completely confused. Then you believe this this vision he had a little more.
Dispensation,
the more confused you are, the more you believe his vision. He's closing his eyes. He's got one eye popping open to see if you're buying it. Here we go.
Timeless, okay? The way it felt. Like there was no, like, you know, when you feel your life is moving, but it was just it was just like what I'm trying to say is every day we feel our emotions, we do everything, but it was just a total peace.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm getting a gay vibe. I know he claims to be married.
I could see the beautiful colors coming through. Everything was so.
Oh, he's going to cry again.
Dude, he's got a Jew bracelet. Lord showed me a lot. Did you see the Jew bracelet? I got to go to this.
I missed it.
And all of a sudden I heard him say, he said, one last call.
Oh, he was at the bar late. This dude saw the sunset and then got drunk at a bar.
Yeah.
All right. Look at his bracelet. Look, it's a Jew bracelet.
Interesting.
See it?
Yeah,
there's the Jew star, and there's some Jew. What do you mean? You guess that's definitely a Jew star. That's the Jew flag, the Imogen David. So this cat is, yeah, super Zio, as well, you said.
This would, yeah, this would be, this would go right along with the whole Zionist Christian thing, where, you know, it's just.
He's hoping the president of Israel buys him a jet, just like the president of Israel at the time bought Jerry Falwell a jet.
Yeah, and again, like no offense. Go ahead. Continue.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I feel like I've said this kind of thing before when I used to go at it on RBN with people. You know, no offense to those intelligent, you know, high-performing Christians out there in society, but just my life experience has told me when I've gotten into, you know, discussions or debates or arguments with Christians that overall they're just not very smart. They're just not smart people, you know.
Well, that's because Christianity is a cross-section of people, and so that's why it appears that way.
So you're saying that people in general are stupid. So when I'm talking to Christians, yeah. I'm not talking to anybody that is not – okay, I got you.
Yeah, and I'm not being uppity about it. I just mean that – because I've always made the argument that average people and even below average white people should have a right to just live in a society and function. It shouldn't have to be some sort of a weird well, you know, the whole weird deal where it's like we're in competition with everyone across the entire planet because everyone in the world's an American who hasn't gotten here yet. So buck up, shut the fuck up, and start competing against a billion poo street-shitting poo eaters.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be that. We should be able to just have ordinary people. But yes, unfortunately, not everyone is like a great thinker. Some people are just great people, but they're not great thinkers. And so a cross-section of them, you're going to end up with a lot of adults, you know.
Yep, that's a good way of looking at it. Very, very academic. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I just don't think it's particular to Christians, but yeah. So, in other words, if this guy were not a Christian, you think he'd be less dumb? He'd be telling you a story about the stripper he met instead of doing this.
Well, I think in many cases, now this might be a valid point. I think in many cases it retards them. In other words, going down that road, so there's many paths we can walk, as you know, and we can explore different topics or, you know, we can choose a different profession, that sort of thing. But, I mean, there are some things, I think, that stunt your growth. And I think so-called Christianity and, you know, the various, you know, Bible passages that these people memorize, I think in many ways it limits their, you know, their ability of the mind to travel where it might need to go to kind of more fully comprehend what's happening to us in the world, right? I mean, it's similar to what's happening now with all these so-called fires in LA, which, you know, when people look at the images, and I don't doubt the authenticity of some of the images, but I doubt the authenticity of a lot of them because I've seen this repeat footage. People have pointed out online, oh, that's a picture from the Paradise Fire, or that's, I mean, a lot of them, they just don't look like, you know, because everybody knows the press and the news, they use, you know, what they call stock footage, right, for stories sometimes. And so I've seen that myself, as well as when I'm looking at all these other images of these so-called fires, and I'm saying, wait a minute. Okay, I mean, these houses normally don't burn to the ground. I don't know. I mean, how many house fires has the average person seen? I've seen a couple in my life, okay? The average house fire is extremely rare. That's the number one thing you got to keep in mind. I mean, drive around any area you want, suburban, urban, and just look around, and, you know, you won't – you will very seldom see a burnt down house. And I've been around here and there. I mean, there was a house on our street not that long ago, and the garage caught fire, and it was mostly the roof, but it did damage some of the upper parts of it. So they had to rebuild the whole garage. But, you know, it went out. And that's the other thing people don't understand, too, is that fires will go out on their own unless you keep them going. And especially, I mean, in frickin' January and scrub, right, the whole area around that. I mean, I've been down that area before, Malibu and a little bit of Pacific Palisades, and it's not like heavily wooded, okay? And it just stuff will not continue to burn. If anybody who's ever been in the Boy Scouts and made campfires or put fires in a fireplace, everybody, I'm sure people have experienced in their own fireplace, oh, the fire went out, right? It's a fucking fireplace, and you put wood in there, especially to burn, and it goes out. But we're supposed to believe that, like, fires just wiped out entire neighborhoods and jumped across asphalt highways and leveled buildings to the ground. And that's a fire. And, of course, fires don't behave that way. So, anyway, I could go on. I could go on this rant. But there's just a lot of phony, funny business going on. A lot of false claims are being made. There was no fucking 80-mile-an-hour winds or 100-mile-an-hour winds. It's bullshit. Because you could go on the various weather services that they monitor the winds, they monitor the weather, they monitor the dew point, and all that data is there available basically 24/7. Mm-hmm. And they didn't record any 80-mile-an-hour winds or 100-mile-an-hour winds. So they're lying to us over and over. And I don't know why I went down this rant. First of all, this rant was already chambered in my mind anyway. But what triggered it? Something about, I guess, perception of reality, stunted growth, something. I don't know. People that read the Bible. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. If all you do is reread the same book over and over again instead of other books, that will stunt your level
up. Yes. No. Yeah, yeah. And then people, they end up parroting. I mean, just they repeat over and over the shit they hear. I mean, this is my direct firsthand experience, like I really needed to have it. But it was my direct firsthand experience with the whole virus and the whole mask thing. And the same people, the same clerks that used to be, you know, the mask tyrants, you know, the dictators and the zealots in the same retail places, if they're still employed, they're wearing a mask again. I mean, this one lady, I call her, you know, the mask queen, right? I mean, she just seems to love it. And there's been a few times here and there I haven't seen her with a mask. But for the last 4 years, every time I go to the store, Lucky Supermarket, she's wearing this thick black cloth mask. And, you know, she's just like, I could tell she's just, I don't know her, but she hassled me one time. Her and another coworker hassled me about 4 years ago about wearing a mask. And I'm sure she remembers me from that. But I would imagine that if I was to go out with her and say, hey, let's go have a coffee, that it wouldn't take me more than 10 minutes to go, you know, you're really stupid.
Well, maybe. Again, in a different circumstance, she might be a very nice person. And this is part of what the government, you know, the government takes the worst of people and amplifies it oftentimes.
Probably. It reminds me a little bit of a time I was really, really attracted to this one woman that worked in a health food store, you know, and this goes back a ways. But, you know, I was working on her a little bit, being friendly, ask her out finally, and then come to find out, you know, boom, my first state education. of how Christian she was and started talking about the Bible and saying Jesus this and Jesus that. And I'm going, oh, well,
not for
shit.
Nothing. You probably should have dated her.
Yeah.
I've had Jesus ladies who are the wildest. Very wildest.
I don't know about that. I wasn't necessarily looking for wild, but anyway, we can continue on with the show. I see a frozen screen and I don't hear anything. Hopefully we're still there. Well, I will speak just in case I can be heard. I don't know what's going on. I occasionally will get a frozen screen, and then other times I'll get the spinning icon like I'm trying to keep up. Like the, I don't know if it's the StreamYard or if it's a computer, if it's the internet. I have no idea what it is. Just for the fun of it, I think I'll try on my phone, see if that makes any difference.
Good luck with it.
Okay, that's enough.
Davis Lerman.
You there, Paul?
Yeah, did you disappear? I disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know. I think someone disappeared. So, yeah. Now I'm going to get confirmation that this is, in fact, playing. We'll go back to the show.
It is playing.
Good. F to the T to the J. How about it? All right. There we go. Okay, let me get confirmation from...
Is this guy here, is this like a Stephen Hawking-like research professor in Germany or something? Or?
I think this is some sort of political party announcement. Answer 9.
Oh my God.
I can hear you, but not Lertleman. There we go. Okay, we're back in business now. Things are spinning, though. It's pretty weird how I'm getting a lot of...
What seemed to be happening over here was that I would still have the screen, but then it would be frozen. And then other times I would have the spinning icon, like trying to retrieve the feed. And then, so what I did is I basically refreshed and, tried to get back on. I don't know.
I had to refresh too, but yes, we should be.
There we go.
Should be back now. Let me just this here.
I was going to say too, I don't know, you made the observation, like I never would have known who the mayor of LA was until this recent thing. And I was just going to say, it's almost as if there's a conspiracy to put black women in power over us. You know, what do you think?
Yes. After the Civil War, Reconstruction, and now. So it seems
You got Lori Lightfoot. It's hard. Who would vote for Lori Lightfoot, right? I mean, I don't, these people, they never won a fucking election. You had London Breed here in San Francisco. I don't know if people, many people got a good gander at that mulatto mess, right? And now we have this Karen Bass or whatever her name is down in L.A., and I'm just thinking to myself, oh, yeah, totally valid. Everybody knows that black women win elections all the time, for sure. Even black men don't like black women. So it's like, how does this work? Like I said, it's almost as if there's a conspiracy.
Well, you can't use what black men like as a gauge of anything, but your point is taken. Yes.
I don't know. There's some pretty base black men out there, but okay.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, we have no base white guys. I don't need any base black friends.
Yeah.
But yes, you can see now he's really feeling it.
We're still on this guy.
We are just momentarily. So in case you thought this was a freeze frame from a vibrating butt plug ad, it's not.
It's like somebody's behind him, enervating him with the spirit of the Lord.
Yeah, someone enervating.
have another injection of Christianity.
Oh no! Okay, well, he was making a butt plug joke. All right, here we go. He's broken up.
Well, that's funny. It's funny. Okay, so I tend to agree with you. This guy's an act.
He can't speak.
He's a fucking tool. But I was just thinking about what we just said and what I just alluded to. I do believe that Christianity has fucked up a lot of people. I really do believe it. So
really,
just haven't said that. You know. Meanwhile, and I think Giuseppe would agree with this, that my Catholic upbringing and my Catholic experience didn't fuck me up at all. All right, but again, like I've always said when I used to go on RBN all the time, I'm Catholic, and that gives me the right to make fun of Christians. And if you don't know what that means, you just don't know what it means. You know, that's all I have to say.
Well, I don't know. Mine affected me a little bit. I went I went a little bit of schooling there, and the nuns really did whack you with a ruler. And they do it in front of the whole class. So now, of course, I would say, I don't know if it really messed me up permanently, but now I could say this: when I'm publicly humiliated, now I get a huge boner, whatever that means. And for nuns. I'm kidding about the second part. Yeah.
Okay. We don't need to say anything more on that topic, do we?
No.
I'm thinking about Sister Mary Jude. I had a big crush on Sister Mary Jude when I was
young. Oh, did you? Yeah, well, they're pretty nuns.
And well, third grade, yeah. That was.
Oh, you had a nun for a third grade teacher, or you just took
I had parochial school, so we had nuns. We had some lay teachers as well. That's all you Catholics out there know what I mean. We call them lay teachers. But yeah, I had a bunch of nuns, and one of them was just, she was really sweet, you know, beautiful complexion, rosy cheeks, just, you know, you could tell, you know, if she took off her headdress and her, you know, glasses, she was like the smoldering secretary type of look, you know. And she was just overall, like I said, I bet you a whole bunch of guys in the class were crazy about her too. But anyway, another topic.
And then all of a sudden Jesus stood there.
And
he's about to do the thing I do when I ask always Alice what she's wearing.
But wait,
he's going to do what Jesus is wearing.
Jesus stood there and what? Go ahead. Plan.
Oh, I was just saying he's about to do that. I bet he's going to do the what he's wearing thing, because men don't usually have visions of Jesus like naked or just wearing the underpants or whatever, like on the cross. That's very unusual. So he's going to be wearing something for sure.
And he had this beautiful robe on.
A robe. Okay, there we go. Thank you.
Just the Technicolor robe from the Old Testament.
It was beautiful. It had a white thread that was perfect right here, and it went into another kind of, like, he had a garment underneath it, but he had a robe on top of it. Uh-huh.
And he had like a little swazi right here.
And you put your hand down his robe and you gave him a hand, didn't you?
And it had white around the top, and it was all kinds of different, like, embroideries, like colors.
He keeps looking over here, which is his right. Isn't that when you're confabulating, when you look up and to the right?
From I've never seen before. Like tapestry. You know? It looked like tapestry. And
So another era specific clothing, right?
He had a huge wooden staff in his right hand. And it went from the ground all the way up into the sky. Like right, you know, above his head. Not the sky, but above his head. And it was thick. Real thick looking staff.
And it had dried blood on it.
and his face had so much compassion.
From bashing in Jewish skulls.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden I heard him say, he said, "One last call."
For alcohol?
One last call.
Yeah.
For alcohol. I'm coming, my sheep. I'm coming.
I'm a coming, baby. Oh, God.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, y'all.
I'm coming. One last call.
We got it. Jesus.
Out of his mouth, and it sounded like a horn blowing throughout this valley. And I looked upon this valley, and there was a valley of sheep all on this green pasture. But half of it was green, but half of it was dark.
Whoa.
And all of these sheep that were the closest to him, because he was upon a hill and the sun was setting on time. The sun was setting, and it was coming to an end.
Oh,
everything that we've known, everything we've ever had as humanity, from the beginning with Adam and Eve all the way to where we are right now. He said, the sun is setting on time. And he said to me, he said, Brandon.
Well, the sun always sets on time. It literally runs like on a clock.
He said, one last call
for alcohol.
And all of a sudden down that valley, the sun started to shine upon the sheep. There was heavy sheep with big, big fur. There was skinny sheep that looked like they had been sheared. And they were completely no fur. They were just bald looking sheep. And they were
all the sheep were being molested by Muslims.
Grazing upon this grass. And all of a sudden they looked to him, the sheep did, and they started to baa.
bah, bah. And they started to run to the father. And he was waiting on them. The heavy sheep was running, but it was interesting because I could see their legs, and they were almost like at a trot, like as fast as you could, a gallop, like you're galloping, trying to get to the father. Water right now. Some of the sheep were waddling. They were waddling because they were heavier than others. Some sheep were like barely moving. They were barely trying to get.
We get it. Your vision has like excellent jiggle physics and sandbox physics. Yeah, that's good.
I want you to imagine something though. Just listeners, however many listeners are out there, what, 7, 6? and David, just imagine the subscribers to this guy's channel. That this guy has subscribers. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. That's why I keep wondering what I'm doing wrong, because I think my show needs a dose of Jesus.
No, maybe you should do something like this. Yeah. Get a YouTube channel. Yeah. God. Well, crazy. You know what? I've often thought, okay, I mean, somebody like you and I or whatever, you and me and Giuseppe, we could do a show like, I mean, could we not do the better, more interesting stuff than PewDiePie? Remember PewDiePie and how big he was, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think it does need a morning show. I've always thought that. I'm thinking if Dave gets the facility with the in-house studio, he's going to want someone to probably begin a morning show and then start anchoring a schedule. Oh, yeah, our thing needs a morning show. I don't know why. We don't
drive
have one.
Time. We could be like Drive Time.
Yeah, or Drive Time. It needs one like that with multiple personalities on it there doing their thing, inside jokes that grow over time. Yeah, all that would be really important to create a culture like that. But we're not there yet. It's a bunch of independent actors and coming and going, as you know. All right, let's get back to one last call. One last call.
Sure, they looked like they were having a hard time, but they were on their way.
Oh, boy.
And I could see the ones behind.
Oh, I see.
His face was like he was longing. I don't want to use words that, but it was like he was distressed. Like the Lord could see them. But they weren't watching. Mm. They had gray fur, and they had black on them. The sheep that were behind here, they were in the darkness. And there was grass, and they were eating, but they never heard him call. One last call. They weren't paying attention. They just kept eating. Time was running out, and they didn't even know it. Those sheep were covered in like a soot. They were covered in black. And they were all grazing upon the land, but I just kept watching. I just kept watching his face, and he kept looking. And he was looking to see if they were going to hear him as he's calling, because we're running out of time.
Can you believe this? This is 1.25 speed. I'm shocked. I really thought this was one.
I have a theory, though, a little bit of analysis for this video. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think he might be suggesting it's metaphorical. Could be metaphorical here. Pretty sure.
Well, it is a vision, Paul. So there's that. Okay. Right. Instead of pondering the beauty that's actually here, he's having visions about it. About so the sun is setting on time and there's sheep covered in soot who don't hear one last call.
Let's have a vote out there in the chat world and in the chat room. Should we drop him in the outdoor pen full of feral gay Negroes?
Well, I don't know. With this all going on, if he has a church, and I had to place bets, I'm thinking I'm getting a Katie Didler vibe. That's all I'm saying. All right.
We're running out of time.
Yeah.
We're running out of time.
Humanity as we know it is coming to an end. Humanity as it's been for the last 6,000 years before we go into the millennial reign, we're going to go into the tribulation.
Oh,
and that's what he was trying to
do. He's one of these tribulation guys.
That's black talk we're fixing to go into.
Yes, he's trying to connect with the people. He's among the people. He's with the people. Smelling the people. He's there with the people.
I saw another classic one the other night, Davis, where they used the word trina, which we all know is T-R-Y-N-A.
Right? Oh, trina.
Trina, and there's usually a not in front of it. Like, for example, this black guy tells a cop, I'm not trying to fix him to get arrested tonight.
You have to try to diagram that sentence.
I said, that's a winner. I wanted to bring down the wooden gavel and go, case dismissed then.
Absolutely. Oh, in that case, sir. Yeah.
I'm not trying to go to jail tonight. Oh, okay, great. Well, you're free to go.
Yeah, oh, in that case, by all means.
Yeah. Pardon me. A little bit of a laugh.
That's amazing, Trina. Because it kind of sounds like, I bet your blacks will be naming their kids Trina pretty soon. Put it with like a little French tilde over one of the letters.
Right. They tell everybody. Was that there was one last all, one last harvest, one last bush, and I told you all this before.
No, before you said one last call. Now you're saying one last harvest, one last bridge.
Bells will ring in the church one more time to sound the alarm of his coming. Okay. Now he's giving me this.
Yeah.
He come to me personally and he told me to tell you that there's one last call. If you're living on the edge and you're not living for Jesus, that boat is your boat ready. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Is your heart ready for the coming of your King?
Really, I'm living for Jesus a lot more than these other people. I'm ready to beat the Jews like Jesus did. Is this guy ready to do, are you ready to go turn over the tables in the Sanhedrin, my man? Are you ready to beat the Sadducees and Pharisees? You ready to do that?
Well, see, this is the thing that's always gets me about it. And again, I mean, I didn't want to turn the show into, again, I sent you this video and, you know, I mean, we're making some hay out of it, which is fine. But these terms, this terminology that I've heard over and over again all my life from these Christians, and I still don't know what it means, such as living your life for Jesus. Are you ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I just want to go, okay, yeah, well, what does that mean exactly? You know, like, in other words, I'm one of these people, I like to have what I call real world, tangible, you know, concrete things that I can, in other words, if I want to get in shape, I could start walking, maybe running, I could do push-ups, I could do pull-ups, you know, I could do various things, you know, squats, all these different, you know, if I need to work on my car, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to change the plugs. How about I clean out the fuel injectors, you know, all that stuff. Well, all these Christian talking points I've heard all my life, I don't know what they mean. They've never been defined. Like, are you ready for Jesus? Well, how do I get ready? I don't understand.
You know, well,
sort of being
never really, here, I don't think you're ever really ready. That's the other thing is, how exactly does one get ready for Jesus?
Right. And what does it mean to devote my life to Christ? It's like, I've heard guys, I've known guys that talk like this and think like this. Meanwhile, they work, you know, they work and they pay their bills and they go to the grocery store, but supposedly you know, the Lord is a big part of their life. I remember this guy. I liked this guy. I worked with this guy for a while, right? He's a solid white guy, you know? And he started talking about that one day. And then, you know, he wanted he was trying to bring me on board because I didn't even know that, but he and his sister, you know, were, you know, sort of at the same time, you know, realized about the Lord and like loving the Lord and making the Lord part of their life. And he just started bringing that kind of talk into normal everyday conversation. And I didn't really break it down or attack it, which I would normally be prone to do because I really liked the guy, you know, and he considered me a friend. I mean, he told me that he considered me to be a really good friend. So I never really, you know, took him to task on this kind of talk. But again, I've been around it and I don't know what it means.
Well, it just means you're supposed to, you know, the new word is vibe. So you're just supposed to vibe with the whole Jesus thing. Don't be a contrarian. Don't ask hard questions. You might get rap of the ruler. That kind of thing. That's really what it is. It's a software. It's a cultural software. So you're supposed to get with it. You're not supposed to start questioning what's what with what. This would be like walking around in oldie time Greek, Greco-Roman times and be like, yeah, but it doesn't make sense. So there's a guy that throws lightning bolts and like, shut up, you know? So that's what
And here's the thing. I do know. I mean, look, this guy used to laugh at all my racist comments and jokes. And he agreed with most of my racist takes. And he used to love, he liked a premium vodka. You know, a lot of times we used to have vodka and ginger ale after work. And that was always fun. And he liked, he liked rock and roll. You know, he played, you know, a lot of music I used to like too. And it's just, so again, but this, the whole thing about like the Lord and how great the Lord was. And he even talked about loving the Lord. And it's like, okay.
Well, but it's also problem with loving the Lord. Yeah. It's just sort of, what do you mean?
It's conceptual, right?
But if it is supposed to be literal, like you're not really living any different than Paul then. So this guy's having his drinks after work like everyone else, but that's not what the Lord said to do.
Yeah. So in other words, I found it. I just find, again, look, overall, I mean, I am, shall we say, a fairly accepting and tolerant guy of all the various things that people say and believe. Right. But I am being serious when I sort of pose the questions I pose. And I probably shouldn't mock some people, some Christians, the way that I have or that I did over at RBN, although I got to admit at the time it was pretty enjoyable because some pretty ridiculous things have been said. And I sort of find it akin, if you will, to Trump-tard syndrome, where people actually believe in Trump and believe that he's going to turn the country around and he's going to save us. He's going to stop this. He's going to stop that. And I just, it's like, I hate to be, how should I say, a killjoy. I feel like that sometimes with,
really,
with Trump optimism, what other choice do we have? I mean, on the one hand, it's like, okay, well, let's just go along and let's quote, see what happens. Well, I kind of feel like I already know what's going to happen, but people don't want to believe it.
Well, we also know what's going to happen with this guy, so we can stop sharing. We know what's coming. There's going to be some big revelation. He's going to, oh, here we go. Look, you got a great shaking, the end of the vision. Earlier he said he's going to begin with the end of the vision, but now he's saying the end of the vision is coming at the end. And he's going to do a great shaking. Okay, so now he's. But then, if earthquakes don't come, he didn't mean it was literal. And compassion of Jesus, which we know. Yep. And do your prayers. Your prayers and your devotionals, most of all. You know, make sure you subscribe. There's a message at the end. Make sure you subscribe. Jesus wants you to subscribe. Well, if I will comment on this, Paul, because unlike the Trump thing, I see the comparison, like you're talking about, between the Jesus people and the Trump people. There are a lot of similarities. But there's one big difference between the following Jesus thing and the following Trump thing. So now, in the case of Jesus, Jesus was either way an awesome figure, a great leader, a legitimately wise person. And he did awesome shit like hewn his own whip for the purposes of going in and whipping and beating Sadducees and Pharisees, turning over their tables, telling the whores to run. Beating people, holding sacrificial animals, and you know, telling them, I'm the sacrifice, you retards. That's why I'm here. No one wanted to hear it. Okay, so in the case of Christianity, it's not Jesus that's the problem. Jesus is fucking awesome. The problem is not Jesus. If everyone was acting like Jesus, we'd be fine. Actually, we'd be a whole lot better off. The real problem with Christianity is Christians. Now, when it comes to Trump and Trumpism, the problem is Trump and the Trump followers. So you can see the difference, right?
I'm sorry. I put myself on mute while I was listening. Yeah, no, in fact, that's, to be honest, that's mostly very well put. I believe that is an accurate portrayal of what you just said.
Yeah. So if only they could actually do what they're saying. Like, just stop telling me about being Christian. Just go, you go be more like Jesus. It'll catch on. But they don't want to be more like Jesus because Jesus would be hating on Jews.
Well, to me, all it really, when I hear such terms as like Christian, or they're good Christian people, I think it's just a redundancy. In other words, good Christians, the same thing, right? In other words, people that are truly, quote, Christian, they're generally not going to screw you over, right? They're not going to do, quote, unchristian-like things. So, for example, most criminals and criminal behavior, that's why I'm always dubious about these criminals that have this epiphany because they get 10 years in prison. It's like, okay. Well, anyway, these are just ramblings.
Well, no, it's all ramblings until it comes together. I'm dying to know what this means. I'm going to talk to the FTJ chat. 1 second, if you don't mind. Let's check the chats.
Well, hey, hello. Welcome to the stream, everybody.
It just never, it never ends. It never ends. It's always something. How are you guys? Welcome. Who do we have here? We got
Straight Out of Swampton. We have Boiling Frog. I don't think we've added many new. Oh, no, we have. Okay, so MSC NorCal still here. And Per H, as well as CJAG, as well as Kick Chef. What's up, buddy? Yes, Kick Chef is a good idea. Dave is starting a Rumble channel focused on bombing Iran to grift the conservatives. That'd be good. Yeah, have an intro song that's literally got John McCain singing bomb, 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 bomb on Iran. The retards would come in and probably donate like crazy. Nightwolf is into his aisle, and so is Fox Die. What's up, buddy? All right, so there we got that. And over at FTJ, I'm dying to know. I've got an image up. I have an image up right now, and I'm dying to know what this means. So bigot, what does that mean? You have to let me know. Feminism in action, lfgcrew.org, Baylog. I know who the Baylogs are, but I don't get the numbers. Maybe that's a date. What do you think, Paul? 0112.
I have no clue. No clue.
Huh. Either way, maybe we have to go to lfgcrew.org and find out.
Okay.
It's meant to be a yeah, like a riddle. And it also looks like, doesn't it look like the words are made up of little dots? Someone really took their time with one of those markers. Very interesting.
I think I provided more interesting material than that windshield there.
Oh, sure. But we're digging on the message. I just don't know what the Baylog means. Right on. There you go, Paul. You see that graphic? It's going to, yes. Paul's getting a tattoo of this on his back.
It looks like David Letterman, not quite white, not so white.
Yes. Well, you know who that is. That's Rebbe Menachem Schneerson.
Right. Well, it's funny, too. Mathis did a paper years ago about a lot of these Hollywood stars that get old and grow beards. They look like rabbis. And he posted a picture of Letterman and Mel Gibson and some others. And it's like, wow. I mean, when Letterman retired and grew that big, full, like grayish beard, I mean, God, did he ever look like a rabbi?
By the way, I found out what LFG Crew is. So we can share this here. But also Straight Out of Swampton says provides audio of other streams. Okay, so it's an audio aggregator. So this is like Mammy shit, but like for our thing. Mm. Interesting, interesting. And they also play old stuff. So you got a Baylog on FTN, Fascination. Well, there you go. All right. There we have it. Now we know, Paul. All right, we have other action for you, everybody. Let's share some of these. Oh, wow. We know what that is. Mm-hmm. Can't believe it's not Hitler. I like that. What's with the lattice work? Isn't that strange? Hmm. I guess it's supposed to be on a shelf, isn't it? That must be it. The lattice work must be where it's on a shelf, and that's why there's shoes under there. Can't believe it's not Hitler.
As far as a form of marketing, if that sort of name would work, or if you would use Hitler's name in selling a product. I wonder how that would work.
Depending on the country, yeah, it would go really well. Don't you think? Yeah. These how are ingenious. Like, this is what AI is good for, this image right here.
Wait a minute. How about Hitler's face on a margarine tub, and it'll be like Jew butter or Jew margarine? And
interesting.
I wonder if anybody would purchase it.
Well, you could purchase Yo-Yo-Hoo butter. That's Huntress. Yeah, you could sell Huntress butter. Much better than the Negress anyway. Yeah, and look. So. Oh, here we go. Wow, that's some dress on Mama Luka Buka Day. Funny. Interesting. Very soon. What does this mean? Wow. Okay, that's a strange one, isn't it? A horse looking through a window. It says soon. I don't know, man. Sometimes I don't get the memes. The memes get me, but I don't get the memes. You follow?
I like this. He's utterly reprehensible.
Oh, reprehensible. That's pretty good. That's a keeper right there. I'm keeping that one. And, of course, I've already right-click saved Anna's images, especially that. Look at this parade, the pageantry. Ooh, swirling fascism. Beating back the intangible pall of Judaism that once hovered over Germany. Nice. Those fucking kikes. All right, everybody. As we were saying.
You want to pop in some? I think I sent you three videos, if I'm not mistaken. You could double check it.
Oh, I sure will. Yep, yep, yep.
I believe I did.
By the way, they say that LFG Crew is a great place for MP3s of Warstrike and Modern Politics. Okay, that I did not know. That is good to know because I usually take the Modern Politics and I download the MP4 and then I have to convert it over to MP3, which is a pain in the dick. But now you're telling me I could just go download it. That's really good. I'll do that. Although it doesn't appear to be updating. Look at this. No, the latest thing they have up there is a New Year's Eve stream with Lana, Henrik, and all their guests. Unfortunately, I don't see a whole lot of the latest modern politics, but oh, wait, here's a whole bunch. Okay, you get your hello and never give up. 88 precepts. That must, oh, that's the PDF. Yeah. Okay, all right.
So I just sent it. Sorry, for whatever reason, I thought I did. So I sent
no worries. Yeah, we'll go over there.
Your Gmail.
Okay. All right, let me go to Gmail. Now I got it just now.
I'm saving up. I got a whole bunch of juicy ones for next week. I think next Monday is Giuseppe's return, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's back after the 24th. So.
Oh, so not even next Monday.
No. Okay. Unfortunately, but we'll make it through.
I get plenty of material, but I just was saving up. Oh, sure.
I've got a few things for you too, which I'll show you real quick. Does this look familiar? Did you ever see this fight? This Negro beats up a white lady, so we should all be appropriately angry.
Doesn't look familiar yet.
Did you ever see this fight where one nigger bites another nigger in the ass?
No.
He bites him in the ass. Okay, that's a good one. And this one is where this white kid standing here and just fucking houses this little spick in a bathroom fight. We got this one.
You've more been gathering antic content, man.
Yep, and then this one here. All right, so these don't look familiar. That's a good thing. I've got some new ones for Paul, but let's go to Paul's.
We'll do a couple of years if you want. If they're good fights, I mean, we might as well get our blood going here.
It's no longer safe.
Oh, we got an East Canyon fire.
Right.
Look at this nigger.
So check this out. So he's dousing the hedges there with water.
He's helping out. What a dumb nigger. What goes through a person's head?
Well, this is a little short, but I mean, I was going to make a point with this. It's similar to the rant I just went on earlier. Okay. So here you have a situation where you have a garage. It looks like a detached garage and it's on fire. The roof is on fire because that's typically what happens when you've seen. Look, I didn't study fire science, but I know a little bit about it. I've read about it and I've watched a bunch of videos on these fires going all the way back to, of course, you know, Santa Rosa and Paradise. And there's a great title that you might be able to pull up. I could probably find it, but Peggy Hall's got a channel and she did one with this guy I actually know the guy. I've talked to him a few times and it's called Looking for Clues in the Canadian Wildfires. I don't know if you remember, but in northern and eastern Canada, in Quebec, okay, in the early spring, I think it was like February, March or something like that, a couple of years ago, there were these supposed wildfires. And as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, what fucking kind of bullshit is that? You know, the East Coast and that far north this early in the year, nothing's going to burn. Right. As I mentioned before, just want to experiment yourself. Just take a 2x4 out in your backyard, a dry, like a kiln dry 2x4 that you get from Home Depot, and put it across a couple of sawhorses. And just take a blowtorch. You know, you got like one of those little mini propane torches. And just first of all, to set it on fire is not going to be easy. And then once you put it on fire, it's not going to keep burning. It's going to go out. It's not going to consume that whole 2x4. Now you could orient the 2x4 vertically and it's going to help it burn a little bit more. Cause as we all know, fire, it moves up, right? That's the other thing too. Fires don't move down a hill pretty much, mm-hmm. right? It's not the normal fire behavior. The fire burns upward. And unless it continues to have fresh oxygen and fresh fuel, you know, it's going to, of its own accord, extinguish itself after it burns the easily combustible exterior of whatever is burning. Now, one of the things that you'll see in this Looking for Clues in the Canadian Wildfires video, which I should have found it, supplied you the link, we could put it up on screen, because we really should do a show where I show you all the different things you can watch. We wouldn't have time to play all the videos, but I'll show you a whole bunch of the videos I've looked at over the last few years that could get your thinking correctly on what it is that, you know, we're looking at and how we're being lied to. because, again, it's obvious to me that if the photos and the images were shown are true, and I have a lot of doubts about the authenticity of some of the images, then we cannot be looking at anything that is natural fire or a wildfire, anything like that, because fire and the results of a fire are predictable. It behaves in a certain way. And what you're looking at a lot of those photos is a bunch of white and gray ash. Whereas if you see the results of a fire, it's black. And I remember years and decades ago, I actually saw some old, one of these old warehouses, you know, that the way they used to be with the maybe some brick facade, but inside was all interior wood and wooden floors and et cetera. And this thing was a conflagration. I remember a big newsworthy event all those years ago. And you could actually, you know, after it was all done and et cetera, you go by, see it. And a lot of that building was still standing. It was all charred and gutted. Right. But it was still up. It was still upright. It didn't disappear all the way down to the footprint. And so what you're seeing in these so-called fires is something that would not and could not occur. Similar to, you know, the planes of 9/11. I mean, once you understand an actual real metal plane going into a real concrete and steel building, and once you see how it behaves in the TV and movie footage versus real life, you realize, oh, that could not have been an actual real physical plane hitting a real physical building. That would not occur. And again, I'm telling you right now, that's what we're seeing in these fire images, is things that would not occur. So there must be, obviously, I mean, I'm not going to just go, oh, directed energy weapon, the way everybody does this. Again, I don't know what it is they have. But if the images we're looking at are real, then what they have is some sort of an energy that can cause building materials to combust, but other things not to, right? Such as trees surrounding houses. Okay, trees and bushes surrounding houses are still there. They're still standing, but the house is not standing. Explain that. Explain that. In other words, trees, upright, wood, leaves, branches, they're still there. They may be burnt. They may be charred. But those are still standing. But meanwhile, the houses are gone.
It just, well, particularly fruit trees are very, they're very packed with moisture. So that's one reason. And listen, I don't know everything about fire either, but I spent 3 years in the volunteer fire department. I ended up quitting. I went on 2 fires. After the first one, I was like, fuck this shit. Mm-hmm. After the second one, some guy fell through the floor and I was like, I'm definitely not doing this. But the fire training taught me, I don't know shit about fire, and actually no one really fully understands it. There are some very strange behaviors. Things can appear to be even magical. I saw fire transfer from one building to another, and it literally looked like a swirling ball of flame. And I asked about it later, and the guy's like, yeah, some material gets caught up, and it turns out the fire changes the air pressure, and you've had an inversion of air pressures. It can make a swirl. Next thing you know, that swirling fireball hits the house next to it, and shit, poof. But it looked like something out of a movie. So it's very, very strangely.
Yeah, you can get what they call fire tornadoes, basically. Yeah, it's a combination heat fire tornado. But here's what I'm saying: in the normal course of events, right, you could have a whole row of houses and only one house is going to burn, and it's not going to fully combust all the way down to the ground. And the way that they make these building codes now, they design them not to burn. Like, this may sound dumb to these people out here, but would have already known this. But years and years and years ago, when I was in a garage and I wanted to take the sheetrock off the back wall and put plywood, because that way, first of all, it's easier to see where all the studs are. And then second of all, for mounting shelves and other things I wanted to do, I just felt like a plywood wall was going to be, you know, more sturdy than sheetrock. And my friend goes, oh, well, we can't do that. I said, why not? Well, it's building code. You can't, you know, only sheetrock goes on wall between the garage and the house or inside of a house. Like, that's why, you know, before sheetrock, they used to use lath and plaster. And the reason they did that, because it won't burn. Sheetrock doesn't burn. Plaster doesn't burn. Stucco doesn't burn. I mean, what is stucco? Basically sand. You know, it's like sanded cement. These roofs, they're highly fire rated, right? So in other words, they're not, quote, fireproof, but they don't catch fire. In other words, these asphalt shingles don't catch fire. Tile roofs don't catch fire. Metal tile roofs don't catch fire. I was briefly dabbled in the roofing business. And that was a big selling point of the I sold steel tile roofs for a while. and these steel tile roofs are nothing but steel with like crushed rock. You know, they use different coloring agents, and they just basically, you know, with a coating of more or less a kind of an asphalt tar mixture, and just they put the crushed rock with different colors on steel, and it's a steel tile roof. So again, and they put fire breaks in the walls, right? The horizontal 2x4s go across the, that's required. That's mandatory because of the way fire, you know, moves up a wall. As an example, fires don't move down pretty much. You know, they only go up. So all these houses are basically, they're designed not to catch fire, and they won't. Okay, I promise you right now, you go in a normal subdivision, and I could light a house on fire, full conflagration.
I wouldn't say that too often, but yeah.
And it sounds crazy, I know, but I'm just saying, perform the thought experiment in your mind. None of the other houses are going to catch fire. You might, the house next to it, if it's close enough, it might burn. You might have burn char marks on the wall, maybe some of the eaves, which are wood. Okay, we all know what an eave is. Those could catch fire, but it's not going to burn the house down. Even if your eaves or your roof catches fire, it's not going to burn the house down.
Well, the first fire I ever responded to was amazing how the second house caught fire. I asked later how the fuck this happened because it was like 300 feet away. And then they explained, these gutters were never cleaned out. And so we first saw, because they got there before me, so they saw the gutter light up and they saw the roofing tiles were meeting their melting point. That melted, ran down, and started to catch the bushes on fire. Because even though the asphalt material in the roofing tile wasn't flammable, it got hot enough when it dripped down to light the bushes up. Then the whole porch went up, and then that was that. All from some floating fucking ember landing in the gutter of the house next door, dude. So I'm telling you, shit can happen.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. So I don't doubt that things can catch on fire. All right. I'm not saying that they can't. But what I'm saying is that the house itself, all right, will not burn to the ground. In other words, just picture the house as a rectangle, right? A square, whatever, the whole foundation. Okay. When you're looking at these photos and you can see that same thing in Paradise and Santa Rosa, et cetera, they're all evenly taken all the way down to the ground. That just does not happen. Okay, that's something that's very unnatural.
And, well, if it's left to burn, I don't see that as so unusual, but you're saying that they would respond before then, or if you just lit it and left it, you're saying it wouldn't go down to the...
So you know what a fireplace insert is, right? Most people have had, you got its heavy, heavy metal. A lot of times you got the nice glass door so you could see the flame, but it's an enclosed... It's enclosed with oxygen coming in or air coming in from underneath. Okay. So in those conditions, you can get something to basically combust near completely. And when you clean it out, what do you have? You have a bunch of grayish, whitish ash, right? That's different than your standard open air fireplace. Now, I think people can relate to what I just said about standard fireplace. We've all experienced it with like, the fire went out. Let's get it going again. And so, you know, you have to put the wood in there a certain way, get smaller kindling or get some newspaper to really get it flaming again. Because if it's just regular old wood, even dry firewood will not combust completely. It just won't. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And Nightwolf, you meant you're saying the concrete and bricks would still be standing. Everything else is just ash. You're saying not everything else would be ash.
No, because look, we all know what a house looks like when it's going up, but the vertical construction of the 2x4s, right? That I already mentioned, the fire breaks, the horizontal pieces, and then, you know, everything goes on top of it. So you're putting a sheetrock on the inside, outside, variations of cover. It could be wood siding. It could be, who knows, metal siding in some cases, aluminum siding, as they used to say. Typically in California, it's stucco, right? So these houses and all the components that they're made of, they're not going to burn to the ground and leave nothing. And yet, around them, other things are not fully combusted. In other words, why would a tree, and again, we can see this, a plethora of these photos from Paradise and Santa Rosa and many other places in the world. And you'd have to watch some of the documentaries I've seen where they're fully an hour or more long, some cases an hour and a half, detailing exactly, you know, the sorts of things I'm talking about. And also mentioning, there's one guy, he's an arborist. And again, I could provide these videos that he's been a part of, where he knows all the different trees and the trees that are very, very likely to burn versus the trees that are that's very unusual for them to burn in a fire. And it's based upon, as you would suspect, their typical moisture content. So for things to easily burn, like you just mentioned, a fire spreading because it caught on some very dry material in a person's gutter. Okay, well, sure, that's possible. It has to be very, very dry, very, very, very dry. Well, I promise you right now, I could go find all sorts of gutters with leaves and pine needles in them, and we could toss a match in there, and it's not going to light the whole gutter on fire. It's not going to light the whole house on fire.
It's best that we don't have a big – let's not have a big Miles Mathis fight. It's very boring for everyone to listen to, and I just think wild – I think fires are really unpredictable, but I understand what you're saying where a lot of this looks strange. I admit I saw a very strange photo of like a blue garbage pail on its side, and everything right up to it was burned but not the pail. But there were also puddles of water around it, which tells me, well, maybe someone got that. Maybe someone got to the house and extinguished a part of the flame first. And also, flame, if you've ever been, if I didn't have my neck gaiter tucked in, and you could feel the heat. The heat from a flame, what it's doing is agitating all the air molecules. It's like a fucking wall. I'm telling you, it's like there's a literal barrier. If you walk 1 inch into the barrier, you feel the heat, and 1 inch back from the barrier, it's a completely different sensation.
Yeah.
So it is entirely possible for this wall of heat to be just going so far and not affect a garbage pail. I know that sounds strange. People think there should be like a graduated effect. Like it gets hotter and then less hot and then less hot. Well, technically it is, but there's an agitation point of the molecules that creates the heat, and it's like a wall. I'm just telling you what it feels like, even though.
Right.
Maybe that doesn't explain the picture for everybody.
But what that doesn't really explain, though, is how this – so let's just assume that this is a plastic garbage pail next to a house that burned down, right? So what I'm addressing is how the house itself, you know, first of all, actually caught on fire and combusted fully all the way to the ground.
No, this pail was in the street.
Okay.
Which is why I tried to explain to everyone that it – and there was also puddles next to it. And I said, wait, someone said this fire spread so quickly because it was dry, but there's puddles. That means the fire department was there.
Right.
And what you're seeing is the burning embers. And maybe that's also why the garbage pail didn't catch. Maybe it got sprayed as a side effect of them spraying the house from a distance.
Right, perhaps.
That's what they do. They spray in an arc into the center, and if that doesn't work, then they start blasting in they blast the water in the windows and all this.
But anyway, having said that, and by the way, we're not having an argument about what Miles Mathis said. He's not speaking. He wrote a paper on the Palisades fire, and he makes a lot of interesting observations. But you know, I don't know if he's fully on board with the whole directed energy weapons thing, and he's got some ideas about what might be going on. And they're of note. So I read his paper, which is up to. He starts out and then he starts to add to things as more information comes in. So I think it's up to 8 or 10 pages right now. But no, these are other people doing videos. And again, if people were to see this one I'm referring to, and I've watched many, what I'm talking about is just the entire picture. And then you get into the analysis of exactly how things work. And I'm going on my own experimentation too. I mean, when I was a kid, I started fires. I mean, I wasn't an arsonist, right? But junior high, especially.
Yeah.
Well, kids play with fires. I mean, I've had campfires, right? Everybody who's been a kid and gone out has made a campfire and played around with fires. Okay, that's just pretty normal behavior. And
rubbing
so
alcohol on cotton balls.
What?
Rubbing alcohol on cotton balls when you go camping. It's a great way to start a fire. I was fascinated by that as a kid.
Right. But kids are fascinated. Kids are fascinated by fire. So I know, again, I've seen it myself. I know how fire behaves, and I know that fires go out. And I remember in junior high, we lived in a neighborhood that was being developed. In other words, it was a development that was not fully built, so there was construction going all around. And this is in the Pacific Northwest, and this is back in the day, I think the late 60s or early 70s. And a lot of times these crews would have a fire. They would have a bonfire and burn extra construction materials and other debris. This is back before, I guess, the environmental movement was so strong. And that was always cool to us. These guys literally would, on occasion, it would be some distance from the house. There was no yard yet. It was just a big, you know, dirt lot, and they were building the house. And they would just light a bonfire and take off, you know? And they weren't worried about it. I mean, because again, this was in the Pacific Northwest. It's basically drizzly like 7 months of the year. Okay. If it's not drizzly, it's overcast. But literally, these dudes, and I didn't think anything at the time because I was just a kid and I didn't know anything, but they would literally, they'd have extra, you know, like scraps of lumber and other building materials, and they'd put them in a big pile and light a fire and go have a beer. And they'd just like leave it going. So I just think people have a skewed notion of because, and they've been doing this for a long time too, fucking us around. I mean, let's face it, they've been spraying nano aluminum on us for over 20 years. And I don't know exactly how long, but a minimum of 20 plus years. That's what's in the chemtrails, okay, is, you know, barium, aluminum, strontium, et cetera. So powdered aluminum, again, you want to try this yourself? Go ahead. Powdered aluminum is a hell of an accelerant, okay? And so who knows the effects of putting nano aluminum in the atmosphere for all these decades it's going to have on the ground, the plants, et cetera. So that's going to be a big part of it too. So we're, like I said, we're living in a very unnatural world. The best way to try to understand things is a really bad, scary science fiction movie, because I think in many ways that's what we're looking at. And in my opinion, they obviously have some sort of a weapon, some sort of a, based on microwave technology, I would imagine, that can combust, in other words, cause, because it creates heat and it disrupts the molecular structure, which sometimes is called disassociation, other times they call it disintegration, but it can cause building materials to combust, and then from the inside. I believe that's what's occurring, because this one video I keep mentioning, looking for clues in the Canadian wildfires, he shows clearly, looking at real footage, trees burning from the inside out. And that cannot happen unless you're dealing with some sort of microwave technology. And they've been rattling around molecular structure since when? The late 60s or early 70s when the first microwaves came out. Remember the radar range? I think it was Amana came out with the radar range.
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
Or so, no, I think it was Litton, Litton.
Could be, yeah. But I remember in particular the people cooking their little microwave meals or heating up their coffee or their soup or whatever it is that they did. It was a novelty. But just imagine, that was 50 plus years ago. So just imagine how much time they've had to tinker around with the technology. And there can be no doubt that they have it, because what we're seeing would not be possible, not in January, not after we've had rain. I don't know, Southern California did not get as much rain as Northern California got. But literally, like I said, 2-3 weeks ago, they were talking about an atmospheric river. I mean, it rained and rained and rained and rained from starting right around Thanksgiving or so. It rained off and on for weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. We've just recently had some nice, clear, sunny weather here.
Interesting.
But yeah, there's still in some places, there's still puddles, you know, they're deep enough to hold enough water. Like near my house, there's one. There's still a little bit of water left in the puddle. And it hasn't rained in probably a week and a half. So, yeah, look, there's just no way you're going to have the kind of so-called wildfire that they're claiming. And plus the Santa Ana winds are October, November. Okay, you don't have Santa Ana winds in January. You just don't. So,
yeah. Well, I don't live there, so yeah, that makes sense. Of course, fire, again, can make its own sort of wind by changing the air pressure and all that. But yeah, maybe that's what they meant, but who the fuck knows? It's also a lot of, like you said, it could just be the fucking aluminum particulate covering everything. PS would just make shit
right.
Light
but
up.
I guess the reason I supplied that little short video is to show you got this house, this single, looked like a detached garage there, if you guys remember it, burning on itself. Nothing else around it is burning. And the likelihood that little single, you know, detached garage is going to cause, you know, the bushes and the trees that are all moist and the houses next door to catch on fire is like slim to none. And again, I challenge anybody to go do this experiment in your backyard. You know, just take a couple of 2x4s and try to keep them going. Start the fire. Don't use any accelerant at all. Don't use any accelerant. Just try to get them to burn. I mean, I'm talking about dried lumber that you buy from Home Depot. Okay, put them in a pile and try to get them to burn.
Interesting. All right. Well, we're going to check another video, but real quick, let's make sure we remind everybody that you could hook up your boy Davis.
Fuck you. Pay me.
Oh, this rascally kid. I don't know. He shouldn't be saying that.
Fuck you. Pay me.
But then again.
Fuck you. Pay me.
There's that.
Fuck you. Pay me. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Pay me.
He's pretty insistent.
Fuck you. Pay me.
All right. Now, in the event you are sick and tired of hearing the kid, you also got to use G-Man is out there, by the way. You know how to help G-Man on an FTJ. You're looking at a Buy Me a Coffee logo right here, which takes you there. And right now we're looking at rtidemedia.com/donations, which is also in the show description. So lots of ways to hook up your hosts. We're going to go to Paul's next video. I swore he was going to make fun of how this dude was pouring water on his bushes, his hedges. Would have been better if he poured it on that cactus over there. Go water your cactus, nigger. But instead, we'll do this. Brave lady. Okay. It says this lady saved a girl. All right, let's see her save a girl. Dude, that's creepy.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I included it, I've come upon stuff like that many times. You know, I'm sure it's rare that somebody can they'll put it together after the fact that it's occurred, right? Mm-hmm. But I've seen several examples like that where somebody sharp, I mean, because the guy's looking all casual by that pole, happens to be a car with the door open, and shit, there's this little girl, you know, or young adolescent girl walking down the street.
They just bought an ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of shit, and these fucking, these vile Hispanics, everybody's heard about the kidnapping problem in Central America and Mexico. It's a known thing. Kidnapping down there for ransom is like a little cottage industry. And, of course, we all hear about missing children all the time. That's always, and I think a lot of it's probably exaggerated. I'm not sure that the numbers that they tell us, I think it's kind of a mind-numbing, trauma-based mind control, if you will. I don't know how much control they're getting out of trauma, but I sort of do believe the wildfire is another example of the trauma-based mind control as well. But yeah, I mean, just the fact that you can see these vile Hispanics trying to put little girls in a car. Oh, God.
Terrible.
Yeah.
All right, let's check this out. This was insane.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, it looks like a fight here. Oh, I see a black white.
I'll introduce it briefly. It's brief, but it's insane. But it's not insane. It's niggers.
Oh, just
niggers.
Right. All right, go ahead.
I was just going to say, watch this behavior, right? So there's a bunch of white guys and a black guy. And, of course, the black guy basically pushes and then punches the white kid. And the caption on the video, I don't know if people can read it, but it says, should he have been ejected?
Should he be ejected, yeah.
My God, yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. Literally Obviously. Ejected into the volcano. Yeah, niggers love sucker punches.
Oh my God.
Sucker punches. Yeah.
I've seen lots of these. This is a whole what I would call avenue that I've never even really brought to the table, but I've watched tons of these basketball court conflicts, and it's almost always a black that initiates it against either another white or another black. Always.
Oh yeah.
Because they just can't control their fucking violent tendencies and emotions.
The only thing
they understand is violence. They don't understand anything else. And there's no point in using anything else on them, by the way. That's my take.
No. And what's true, one stereotype is absolutely true. Their heads are really, really hard. So you have to kind of hit them harder than you would a white person, too. So you really have to hammer it into their nigger heads, and then you might get somewhere.
I've never had to fight a black, but I remember a guy that I knew right after high school told me, because he had some experience fighting them in his junior high and his high school. And he told me, he goes, yeah, just go to the body. He told me the kidneys. He said, for whatever reason, they have they're vulnerable to kidney shots. I said, okay. I made a mental note of it, but hopefully I never have to apply it. But he goes, yeah, I'd go, don't hit them in the head. They got hard heads.
So, yeah. Okay. So if you have a sharp object, go for the kidneys. So what is this that does not get it award? You want to introduce this video?
I don't know. Oh. This is that broad. Go ahead. This is the one I mentioned.
All right. Let's see it.
Columbus, Ohio.
Here we go.
Okay, so I know I'm not supposed to notice these things or ask these questions, but it needs to be noticed and the questions need to be asked. So I've lived in a nice suburb of Columbus for about 5 years now in the same apartment complex. And since moving in, slowly but surely, all of my neighbors have become foreigners. I am one of the only Americans that live in my complex now. If I go to take a walk around the neighborhood with my son, almost nobody speaks English. And all of them look at me like I'm the odd man out. Like, what's this white girl doing here in our neighborhood? If I go to the pool, it's almost all Spanish speaking or Middle Eastern speaking families. Like, I am one of the only English speaking Americans in my complex. And that doesn't seem right to me. How is this okay that I, an American, am being conquered basically in my own home? Is anybody else upset with this? Is anybody else?
Yeah, people are upset about it. Yeah. Yeah, you should come to FTJ and go to
Odyssey. Of course,
Paul's cutting out.
Respond. You know, that's the other thing we could do. We could take these videos and we could make compilations where we're interjecting just the right moment. But yeah, the white supremacists and the Nazis object to that young lady. They do.
Yes. Yeah. There's plenty of objection happening. And in fact, does she have a man's in her life?
Apparently not. Apparently she says her child, and I'm assuming her kid is white, but yeah, we could hear.
Yeah, right.
She's got a little bit more to say.
Right.
Noticing,
and she goes on to say it's not about race. Just
we're
so you know.
Now made to feel out of place, and I'm not even talking about race. I'm not talking.
There you go. Okay, right. So she's got to do the caveat, the forced caveat, which of course,
right.
If the society were structured differently, this woman would have no problem saying, "Get these fucking niggers and shitskins out
Beaners,
of here."
Beaners, spicks, taco vendors, right? And see, that's the thing. That's the Jewish software right there. You like to talk about hardware and software. That thing right there that she just did. It's not about race. This is the I don't want you to think I'm a bad person, because we all know racist equals bad person. That's all it really means. Oh, you're a racist. Equal sign, bad person. That's all it is. Go ahead.
I just want to watch her expression when she does it.
Now made to feel out of place. And I'm not even talking about race. I'm not talking about race.
Okay, she did the thing again. I got to figure this out. What is the
out of place, and I'm not even talking about race. I'm not talking about race.
Yeah.
And quickly, let's pause it for a second.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing, and it's not just disingenuous. It's really, to me, it's like sickening hypocrisy and a lie, because she is talking about race and nothing other than race. In other words, if she's got Norwegians and Germans and Swiss and British people, whatever, in her apartment complex, she's not going to be making this.
She does have a big ring on, so she does, but she didn't talk about her man. Isn't her man should be out there walking her and the kid around.
I don't see how this is okay, and this doesn't seem like a strength for us. This diversity thing doesn't seem like it's going good.
So, but diversity, what does he mean, diversity? It's not a race thing.
This is what I call the, you know how I always like to say that black DNA is toxic. Okay. In other words, you know, there's nothing more obvious to me that in the aggregate, okay, that African, you know, DNA, right, is completely, it's like a negative thing. And this is Jewish brainwashing that gets people so confused they can't think properly, they can't articulate without, you know, going into these conundrums. I mean, she's obviously in a conundrum when she's talking about, oh, it's not about race, but it is. And this is not right, and this diversity is not working, but it's not about race. It's just like, what?
Yeah, she's trapped in her own head because the Jews have put all these walls up around her thinking.
This is the vile toxicity of Jewish poison. Jewish mind virus.
Yeah, she's in a Jew maze in her own mind. She's having a wrestling match with her own imagination right here. And the only reason she's caveating is because she's afraid somebody will see it and judge her.
But you and I, somebody like ourselves, if we were nice to her, you know, and we took our time, we were patient, we wined and dined her, she's got potential. She knows. She doesn't like it, okay? There's a part of her that really fucking hates it. And mm-hmm. there's a part of her that doesn't really like it. And then that's a part of her that's like, it's not okay. So that's the part she's showing the public right now. Oh, it's the not okay part. And we need to excavate down a little bit deeper to get to the fucking hate this, these fucking foreigners. Because I got news for you. I listened to a little bit more William Pierce this weekend. And, you know, I gotta say that you know, he makes you get down to that nugget, you know, the core issue of like we have to be nasty and we have to hate these people. Otherwise it's never going to end. They're making war upon us, and that's what she doesn't get. I mean, she sees what's occurring, but she doesn't know that it's a war being waged upon us.
Well, there you go. And I need to respond to Per H, because he's telling us 7 minutes ago, $2, funny kid, and Fox Die, a nigger sucker punched him back in junior high. He hit that nigger with a hardcover math book and knocked him out. There you go. MFC NorCal wants to tell this poor girl on video over here to thank. Here we go. Share this tab instead. Thank the boomer, sweetie. I guess, yes, there's a lot of boomer blame, which I know some people are sick of hearing about. I mean, there's great boomers, but as a whole, boy, they took a majority white country and turned it into this, and, you know, happened on your watch. So you can talk all about how there's other variables and there's certain things we couldn't control. It's like, yeah, I get that. I feel like a lot is out of my control.
So who was the one that you said he got hit, sucker punched by a Negro in junior high and hit him with a math book?
Fox Dye.
Okay, so shout out to you, Fox Dye. Get this. All right, this is – I'm not trying to make you jealous or anything, but I'm just trying to point out the way things are. In my junior high, there were no blacks. In mine, I don't even think I saw – you know what? It's funny. I went to the junior high in the Pacific Northwest. It was a town, a suburb about 15, 20 miles north of Seattle. And mm-hmm. I think I saw once or twice at a track meet some blacks. Mm. But literally, I went out for the track team in 7th and 8th grade, and we would go to track meets, and it'd be like basically an all-white track meet, you can imagine. That's how white the Pacific Northwest was back in the late 60s and early 70s. And I'm sorry. It's just that's one of the reasons I am the way I am. It's because I see what's occurred, and not only did I never get sucker punched by blacks, I didn't see any blacks. So
that's a preferable way to do it, really.
Yeah. No, so,
because there's no niggers would really.
So, so way to go with your math book. I'm assuming it was an algebra book, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was junior high. It probably was just a regular.
Well, it had to be algebra because we were already doing algebra by 8th grade or something.
Well, they actually have a pre-algebra. Yeah, it's probably pre-algebra because I think algebra 1.
Nowadays, you never know. They're probably going to be doing fractions and, you know,
oh,
shit like
right.
That.
You say, right. Save the hard shit for yeah. Also, yeah. Luke Notaris is in his aisle saying 8 billion people on the planet. Does anybody else feel like this? Yeah, lady, the chances are pretty good. Somebody out here is going to feel like that's why you're doing this video, because you're frustrated. And what she's experiencing right here, Paul, is a little bit of placebo politics. She's gonna put this phone down after she presses send, and she's going to feel like, I really did something here. Isn't that something? All right, Nightwolf, it's about race, sweetie.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. I
was just going to say, you want to let her finish? It's not that long.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm just checking out the Z chats. MFC yeah. NorCal with a reminder of tactical kikery. And let's see. Give Lerman credit for that one boiling frog, one of my favorites. Oh, tactical kikery, I guess. Okay. Very good. And straight out of Swamp is in here breaking your balls. I'm going to do some IRL thing this year. I don't know what it's going to be. It's probably going to be down Giuseppe's way. And hopefully anybody around can join us. I'm looking forward to meeting Swampy. MSC NorCal, there's no place on earth that got better once whites left and shitskins took over. Well, that's the fundamentals right there. That is the math of the great replacement and the ultimate consequence. So, unfortunately, women like this will be like steaks on a table for these savages.
Well, of course, the other thing I can relate to is that in elementary school, I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and again, in my parochial elementary school, there were no blacks. In fact, I think there was one guy. He probably was mixed. He had like a tan. Okay, that was basically it. Thomas Travers, I believe. We fought one time.
Doxing. Paul is doxing. All right. Okay.
With her. He hit me in the stomach one time, actually.
Why I oughta.
Yeah, I know.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Am I being irrational? That I feel uncomfortable in the fact that I'm like the only one of my neighbors that speaks English and actually has an ancestry here in America that can like go to a cemetery and see my grandma and grandpa who were buried here. Am I wrong for feeling like
no,
that shouldn't be the case?
No, just stop watching Jewish media and you'll stop even asking that question.
I'm gonna shock her now. No, that's the Germans referred to that as blood and soil. So,
yeah, right. She's hearkening for blood and soil. But if you
I'm
call
telling
it
you,
that,
she's got German the potential. Person? Look at her. She's got the potential. I can picture her, you know, in the nice little Third Reich, you know, outfit, you know, with the other girls out exercising outdoors. And I think she's got the features overall. She's got a nice face, and so mm-hmm. she's probably smart. She could probably go to the SS breeding farm, perhaps, you know.
Oh dear God, no, she'd be fine. And if this were just a white country, she'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yes, she mentioned her son. There's a wedding ring. Where's the dad? That's what I was wondering, Lucas. I'm sorry, Luke and the Taurus. I was wondering the same exact thing. She's got a big ring on. Which, P.S. You better. She's you might want to leave the ring at home and just start wearing a wedding band because you're going to get that ripped off pretty soon. It's just a matter of time.
Sad to say, but the percentages are well above 50% that she's going to be a single mom. This is the really what's happening to our country, which is horrifying.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she's not, but yeah. Because
she's living in an apartment for 5 years with
sound dire, doesn't it? Yes. It sounds dire. This is terrible. But maybe she's got a ring on because her man is serving overseas, so she's like fully in the Jew system. She'll never see outside of it, and this is not even her fault. I don't do the picking on women thing around here. So this is women are they're built, they're hardwired for this exact kind of thinking. Like, am I the only one? You know, she's supposed to be sitting around a fireplace, collaborating the narrative of the day to reduce the worry of the hunters when they return. So this is what she's doing. She's constantly seeking confirmation and validation, which is what women are built to do. So no one should condemn her for that. It's just a shame she's never going to find it because very few would dare to even write her back to say, yeah, actually, all these niggers and browns around here really does suck. I bet you very few people are telling her that.
It's funny, though. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was responding to I seek confirmation and validation. And if I don't get it, I'm going to swing my 2x4 or hit you upside the head with my confirmation and validation.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
It's perfectly natural to be upset that my home is being conquered by foreigners. Where are my fellow Americans? And why are we letting this happen?
Now she sees that's the point I wanted to get to. So, yeah, so she's got it. In other words, she can't articulate it, but it's the territorial imperative or the territorial prerogative. And like, how and why is this happening? When is this going to end? You know, where are my fellow Americans? And she's looking for, you know, what we're all looking for, which is like righteous leaders who are pissed off about this and are going to ready, you know, to physically put a stop to it. And that's where I've been for 25 years. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I could go on to another rant here, but I'll just mention briefly one of my fans emailed me over the weekend, you know, about this conflagration in L.A. And, you know, she basically says, so, Paul, when are the American men going to be pissed off enough to do something? How many more houses of theirs are going to have to be blown up, basically? Because, I mean, I'm sure she's a knower and believer of the directed energy weapons hypothesis. I don't think we've ever talked about it directly, but I'm sure she knows. And she's kind of just posing. It's out of a sincerity and a frustration as well. She's basically just venting to an email saying, is it going to be enough? When are men going to get together and do something? And I had to write her back and say, you know, that's the unanswerable question. I don't know. I'm not sure if I see it anytime soon. And as I mentioned many times on many of my appearances, that one of my frustrations in life is that other people are not as pissed off as me. So it's kind of like, what can I do?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the show is coming to an end. We're not gonna fix this poor girl's situation, but yeah, she's got it. She's got her finger on it. And it isn't going to be her who fixes it anyway, so it will be men. And I don't know what to tell her. Where is the group of men going to fix this? Well, some of them are standing by, standing down. Those are your Trump bros. They're not going to do anything. Some are the irony bros, where everything's just a fucking joke, and they'll talk about the dandruff in her hair instead of what she said. Another bunch are just fags. And then a whole bunch others are in the manosphere, and they're going to blame the girl. And they're going to say, well, we would be doing something, but all you do is question us. And so they get to blame the women for not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then there's the handful of the rest of us who know what has to happen. And we feel like there's not enough people with us. So,
right. Here's the thing. And I'm not going to, you know, this is a whole topic that deserves a full, you know, discussion, because it's this manosphere thing and blaming the women. And I get, because I first encountered a little resistance to this kind of stuff over there at Renegade with Kyle. I mean, and he's right, of course. Other people that say that, you know, it's not the women's fault, it's the Jews, and that we need to protect them, and all that stuff is true. However, every man has experienced, I know I have, okay, being rejected, whether it's for just friendship or a friend, somebody being friendly towards you, or even in a relationship, because of our views, because that we are like right wing, or that we're racist or whatever. I mean, I was first called a racist back in, I think, my junior year in college, because I made some comment, and this girl that I really, really liked, and it didn't affect our relationship, because we did have one for a while. But, you know, she's like, oh, that's racist, what I said. And I go, well, yeah, but it's reality. And back then I was nowhere near. I was what you would call, what's the word I'm looking at? Precocious, for example. And I was able to express myself, but I was nowhere near as coherent and articulate as I now am, or that I would to later become. But I had racist sentiments even back then. And this was another white woman that I was dating, that I was interested in. And she was offended and let me know it about my racist views. So all these guys out there, they do make a point the fact that, I mean, this woman, she gets it. She sees what's happening. It's the noticing. But they have to be, unlike a lot of men, they have to be red-pilled a little bit at a time. They can't be like fully, you know, you can't just let them know, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense, yeah. The comments are saying a lot of nonsense was emailing Paul. I don't think you know who they're referring to there, but I'm curious, though. It says, Serbian Bull says to Fox Die, Lada did some commenting in my community page. Now I'm dying to know what she said, Serbian Bull. Every Odyssey channel has a community page that people can comment. Oh, really? I've never even checked mine. Now I have to go see what's on mine. Every Odyssey channel has a community page. This is wild. All right, hold on. Let me go over here.
So was that him taking a shot at a lot of sense? I believe that was.
Yeah, I had to kick her out because she was calling Always Honest a nigger.
Really?
Yeah, just like over and over in capital letters, and I'm not putting it up with that. I made a very good case and just said, like, here's what you can do. You can go look these things up. And, oh, look at this! People give me splat. Here you go, splat myself. People, yeah, this is probably one of these splats. Was probably her. She's not allowed in the chat anymore. And I gave a really good explanation of, like, listen, I don't think you understand Arabs. And also your argument seems not to be with Always Honest, but seems to be with Hitler. And the explanation of how there can be a white Arab, just their ancestors didn't procreate with black slaves. So it's pretty straightforward. And she just didn't want to take it. So because she, you know, she tends to get wound up. A lot of women do. And she's right to be angry. I've said this before. I was really conducting like an experiment in white on white kindness with a lot of sense and was trying to be very understanding. But there comes a point where you just, you know, you can't be somewhere if all you're going to do is fuck shit up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking here, Serving Bowl. I don't see what the community page would be all about. I'm super confused.
So Davis, before we go, I just want you to pop the video up on the screen to see, so that if we can show people, they can go watch it. That's all. I sent you a single email with.
Oh, I think I found it. Yeah, I'll go check that out.
So just put it up on the screen so everybody knows about it in the title. And I know that you can see, you might still be able to see it on YouTube, but it came up on Rumble, among other places.
All right, look at this. I didn't even know this, Paul. So you got a whole thing here.
What?
I didn't know this community page. All right, I'll pay more attention to my community page. Okay. I didn't even know.
There you go.
One more thing to check. Another time sink. I'm kidding. Right. I'll look at your things. Ooh. All right. There seems to be interesting things in there. Very good. I'm assuming a lot of sense would not leave a nasty message in here, though. She's probably going to lurk.
Isn't Giuseppe still boycotting Odyssey? Like, he's not putting up our shows on there anymore, right?
Where's Giuseppe putting shows on Odyssey?
He stopped putting up on Odyssey a while ago.
Yeah, because right? they demonetized him. He said, fuck you. And
okay. Because yep. they should go there anyway, because, you know, we used to have, I mean, this is my opinion, but we used to have on a regular basis 300 to 400 comments on Odyssey, and there was one of our shows, a couple that were up there, but one of our shows, we had over 800 comments. So, you know, that's something, right? I just don't think we should be giving up those kind of things. But that's just my opinion. I've expressed it to you before.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. All right. So, and I'm to look at, you're saying there's one more video? No,
it's a link. Yeah, it's the video I was talking about. We should put it up and yes. Tell people to go watch it.
Okay, let's go show that to everybody.
So they can make a note of it.
Oh, dear God. Looking for clues in the Canadian fires. All right, let me share it right here.
There we go. So this is on Rumble.
I remember her. Okay, it's Peggy Hall.
Right.
The People.
Yes.
Constitutional something something. Interesting.
Looking for clues in the Canadian fires with Robert Brame and Peggy Hall. And okay. This guy is a super, you talk about a brain, you know, people talk about big brain Davis Lerman. So this guy's a brain. And he's an arborist and so on and so forth. And he's been on some other places as well. But this is just one. I've seen dozens of these things going back years, but this one is excellent. And you will clearly understand that lots and lots of these fires, not just the ones we hear about in the news, but they're using this technology all over for whatever reason. Sometimes they're probably just using it like fucking kids just to fuck shit up. But in other cases, they're using it for what? A real estate agenda, land grab agenda? You know, who knows? It's speculation. But all these people out there that are watching, listening to us, go and watch this. It's the better part of, I think it's nearly 2 hours or something like that. But it's excellent. And by the way, Peggy Hall is solid. Right away, right off the bat, she was on board with the whole COVID hoax nonsense. She provided people letters for exemptions for wearing the mask. She talked about the law. She provided people help and letters for vaccine exemptions and talked about no such thing as a mandatory or forced vaccine, no matter what they fucking tell you. You know, and she got into the, you know, she pull up the pages from the law books and also from court decisions. And she's, like I said, and she's solid. She doesn't speak. She doesn't actually, quote, name the you-know-who, but believe me, she knows about him. Okay, she still has a YouTube channel, so that's probably one of the reasons what she doesn't. But in the one video she did recently about the L.A. fire, she mentioned something out of the Talmud. So she'll give us little hints here and there. But again, overall, Peggy, if you go to her channel and listen to her on a regular basis, she's solid.
Well, she's got nearly 7,000 followers, so yeah. If she wants to keep those followers, I wouldn't mention the Jews. By the way, Robert E. Pyle stepping in to straighten out the Lotta Sense story. Robert E. Pyle says, Lotta is a girl. I talk to her all the time, and I don't know what Always Honest is. I asked her one time, she told me to fuck off. Actually, in that same conversation, she told you to fuck off. She explained who and what she was, and then you asked her at the very end of what was a repeated explanation by her. So she was upset, as you'd imagine. She'd had enough at that point of She spends time defending white men, and then the white men go and attack her because they've never heard of a white Arab. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm sure a lot of sense as a girl, and I'm sure the way she sees it, I've unjustly banned her or whatever. Yeah, so, I'm not going to say I don't miss her at any level. I thought she was all right, but then she went off the handle.
So this guy,
and always honest, guy, also real quick, Paul, always honest, just to straighten out. I don't know. I suppose I don't know why anyone should believe me, but I've told you over and over again, I've shown her picture, but she sent me many, many other pictures and said, just don't show these because it's pictures of her kids. And she's on the beach with her kids and her husband, and everyone's white as fuck. I don't have to tell you. She's a hot white woman, which is a lot more than you can say for some people. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, as Mike Myers would say.
Yeah, she's a very attractive white woman, and her kids look like Dennis the Menace. And she got a white husband, so she makes white kids.
There's no point in going. I mean, it's just stupid for somebody to not know there are like white Arabic people or Caucasian. You just haven't lived. You haven't seen them. I mean, I've seen like this Syrian people. Syrian family used to run this deli I used to go to all the time. You know, for as like one of those little small markets with a deli, and they were basically white, right? I mean, so. And of course,
a Syrian girl has whiter skin than my cousin's wife, who's Italian.
Right.
And I've known Norwegians with olive skin because some of the Scandos have very, very olive skin. So, right. You know, it really does depend.
I'm just curious. So this guy that you just mentioned in the chat, he said he knows a lot of sense. He talks to her,
which I guess if everyone's being honest, then the story is that I banned an upset white woman, and he's saying he doesn't know who Always Honest is, but that's not how it went.
Let's get a look at her. So to have this guy, if he knows her, obviously your email. So
I have no need. No, that's not important. I don't need to see a lot of sense. This is not one of those things. Everyone has a right to a community, Paul, but just coming in here being upset. I've been upset. I've never just repeatedly called someone nigger.
You jump in too quickly, though. You're killing my shtick. I can never.
Oh, develop. What's your shtick? I've got to see a picture of her. You're saying,
yeah, right, in a bikini or something like that, right, or in lingerie. You know, that's. I was going to just go there and say, you may not want to see it, but I want to see a picture. So go ahead, because not enough women send me pictures. You know, I was going
to. All right. Well, listen. If we're to believe this is a lot of sense.
There you go. Look at that. Yeah. Okay.
And now suddenly I want her back. I don't know why. I'm also really, I'm hungry and thirsty.
That's good. I can always count on you to interject humor. But anyway, going back to that video, it's important for you people to understand that I'm right. That's why I want you to watch the things I watch, so you can believe the things I believe, and you can think the way I think, and that way you never question me, and you will obey me.
Yeah.
As been made clear by Bob, I'm one of my biggest fans, that I am a self-centered narcissist. As we all know.
Really? The Race First White Pagan Club says Tom Roswell is a good place to learn about Aryan genetics. Survive the Jive. Oh, I've heard of Survive the Jive on YouTube. Okay, hold on. I'm going to copy this. Here's his chat, everybody. Survive the Jive on YouTube. All right, now I'm going to go try to find Survive the Jive on YouTube. I can get rid of Jesus, the Jesus fella, I think. Let's do that. Yeah, let's get rid of the Jesus fella. Survive the Jive. Oh, wow. Okay, he's got a lot of material. Interesting. Excellent. All right. I'm gonna be getting into this. Maybe I'll find a canned little video to pop up all the time.
And what we should do, not that I need any more airtime, but I mean, maybe spell you a little bit, is we could play healthy parts, what I call a good length of clips from that video on one of your shows this week, if you want. And I get into it. I'll leave it up to you. But yeah, it's worth watching. And again, there's many others like it, but it is that particular video that I did with her, I found on that I watched with Peggy Hall and this guy, Robert Brame. I got it from a site that I go to all the time, and where lots of really great videos are posted. And it's one of the better explanations of the kind of thing we're seeing, because obviously all sorts of technologies exist that we probably don't know about. And it just, it recalls to mind all the talk back from the UFO type days of breakaway civilization, that kind of stuff. And there's obviously a group of people that have gathered to themselves the wealth, and also by almost default, the wealth and technology of the world. And I have a theory that these people are not Presbyterians. So, you know, that has to be, shall we say, you know, borne in mind, looked at from in the framework of we're being made war upon on a regular basis, and we got to consider what it is we're going to do about it.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, the real action is here. You can go see yourself the real tuber now, who's still tubing, and looks like he's picking on Susie Chan for getting $700 from Bowhunter 88. Isn't that Bowhunter 88? So I guess that's what's going on in the scene now. All right, yours truly racking up $7 today, buddy. Davis Lerman with the big bucks. Don't spend it all at once.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to double it. I'm going to double it to 14, and I'm going to add 88 cents to that. How's that?
There you go.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
I know. She's beautiful. Someone said this is her. Look what you've thrown away, Davis. Thanks a lot.
Something about when a woman is laying down, but then she brings her like her legs up in that kind of position, you know, with the, I just something about it. I don't know what it is. But
yeah, because women are magic. It's also, she would say, I'm just laying here. And yet I would be saying that looks just like an invitation. And that's why men and women are different. And then she'd say coyly, an invitation to what? As she giggles.
So we never did get to see that black guy bite another black guy in the butt. You want to close
that's
with
next
that?
Time. Yeah, that's next time.
Oh, man.
There you go. If you're a fan of the
X-Files. You just told me about it. I never get to see it.
Well, that's next time. We're out of time for today.
Who's that we're looking at right there?
Oh, that's Gillian Anderson from the X-Files.
Oh, I could hardly tell. Okay, yeah. Kind of looks a little
that's because
like
you weren't looking at her face. That's why you couldn't tell. Yeah.
A very slight resemblance to Always Honest. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody.
All right.
Davis Lerman and Paul, we're signing out. We'll see everybody. Well, you'll see me tonight, every night, 6 days a week. You're going to see me on FTJ and Odyssey, Rumble, elsewhere. Most importantly is this business of G-Man being out until after the 24th, which means you're going to be seeing me Wednesday and Friday. All right. And it should be Scorpio Wednesday. And then we'll see again. We'll see about either Paul again or Scorpio again on Friday. We'll figure it out. Or, yeah, either way, we've got some more Negro videos for you. But if you find that tedious, we have other info. CJAG with Good Day, Men. No one doing a callback. Oh, there you go. Fox Deo. Have a good one and God bless. Yep, we like that. And too bad Jillian's a lesbo. Oh, is she really? Oh, well. That can be fixed, yes, right. If society were restructured and things could be made to happen. So the only reason she's a lesbo is because she's living in Judaism. This is your country on Judaism. All right, everybody. Till next time, Lerman out. G-Man in absentia.
It's really important for white people to speak up right now.
Welcome. I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you? What's on your mind?
Hi, Giuseppe. I'm doing well. Good to speak to you. Your voice is so important and so articulate and so educated. And everything that you're putting out there is amazing. Giuseppe. So, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
And I've always felt your voice is so important.
So important.
So articulate and so educated that it's really important for white people to speak up right now. And pretty much anyone who's speaking out for white people and against the Jews are on the right track. I am just incredibly grateful that there's men out there like you who have the most incredible amount of dignity to stand up for pretty much everyone else that's not capable of doing it. I really think that white men's balls have been tied, particularly white men's balls have been tied.
White men's balls.
And they're so busy arguing with each other that they're not capable of forming a union strong enough to go after these guys, because truly the white men are the only ones that are going to stop this. I don't think any other type of human being, and this is a human being thing, we're dealing with, you know, criminal animals, and the number one problem for every single human being is what the Jews are doing and the fact that they're killing everybody else. And anybody who's standing up for that and against that right now is the only ones that we should be listening to and supporting them. And God be willing that they are strong enough to form, unite, and take those fucking Jews out. That's it.
Right on. All right. God bless everyone.
Unite and take those fucking Jews out. Unite and take those fucking Jews out.
Fucking Jews out. Fucking
Jews. It's really important for white people to speak up right now.
G-Man in absentia. G-Man in absentia. Giuseppe Buffon.